yo, and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hold on, did you start the show? I told you I'm in the bathroom taking a Russo.
Yeah, make sure to wipe your Dixie. So.
I will, but you're all out of fish off. Anyways, just start without me. I'll be right there.
Fuck Russo!
Something they're going to be doing their dividends, and they went through and they pulled the trigger on it.
Well, that's,
so why don't you talk about that and then talk about the conference in relation to
well,
it.
Well, that's the key point, is I was about to get to before you just decided to get your fucking
well,
yap in there, so.
Get up, fool!
Wait, what the fuck was that?
That's my Mr. T.
Let me just say, if you're building a wrestling company and you had the opportunity to have either The Rock or Stone Cold Steve Austin. Both are 30 years old and both have 5 years experience in the business,
okay.
Both injury free.
5 years.
5 years experience, 30 years old,
really?
Injury free.
Mm-hmm.
Theoretically, which one would you rather have?
The Rock.
The Rock?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead. Why?
Because I think that The Rock, the way I qualify that, because the way the question was answered is that both are equal in terms of their experience in the business.
Mm-hmm.
And The Rock, in 2001, he had about 5 years experience in the business.
Mm-hmm.
It was fucking phenomenal. Steve Austin, in 1994, 93 maybe? 93, 94? Had about 5 years in the business, right? Am I right there?
You know, I'm not sure.
I thought when he won the title, it was 8 years I did this stuff or whatever. I thought he started in like 89 or so.
Hey, let me look this up. Well, you
look
keep
that
on,
up. But anyway.
You keep on talking with your theories.
The reason being is that if you
but
were
let's
to take...
Say, essentially, we're saying, though, that both men have 10 years left. If we say that...
Okay, but I'm just looking at when you... If you were to say Rock from Attitude Era, Austin from Attitude Era, I say Austin from Attitude Era. But when you qualify with the same amount of experience, I think Rock got there faster and was better quicker.
Well, I'll say he got the opportunity faster.
Yeah.
I don't know that he was better faster. I mean, remember the...
But
the,
we'll
the,
never
the,
know.
We'll never know. The Steve
That's
Austin...
Right.
The Steve Austin that we were seeing, I mean, you know, wasn't that old when he was really, really
we can only,
good. Like,
but
like
I can
Steve
only
Austin, the
what
Hollywood
I saw.
Blondes, the Steve Austin with the Hollywood Blondes had every the same bit of potential as Stone Cold Steve Austin within the WWE
yes.
to draw money if they had been given the opportunity.
Yes. But so what's your answer?
Okay, well, I'm going to say this. Okay, his first professional wrestling career, just looking at it, his early career... all I can tell you is he was started with, in 1991.
Okay, against Frogman LeBlanc. So then 1996, Austin.
With World Championship Wrestling. I believe he had...
Oh, World Championship
Wrestling.
Yeah, so
it was 89. Yeah, so it was 89. That sounds about right.
Okay.
So, okay, yeah, I mean...
But I know you like to go into flippy-dippy, theoretical, loopy-doopy land and talk about what could have been. Where I'm only going to comment on what I actually saw.
What you actually saw. Well, no, that's fine. You're saying that. But, I mean... I mean, you kind of break it down to me. I'm going 30 years old. I mean, it's obviously you'd be well off to have both of them.
Of course.
Who would have the greater mainstream appeal?
Yeah.
You have to go Rock, right?
Of course.
You just have to. I'm not sure that The Rock actually pulled more female audience in. He might have pulled more.
Yeah, I think he did.
I'm not so sure. A lot of Stone Cold had his moment there too. Probably he pulled more kids in. I think that's probably fair. I think
funnier.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I kind of look at it and I go, Austin was the highest drawing guy, but he was the highest drawing guy because he had that great feud with McMahon. Austin, I think, I'm not sure Austin would have reached quite those drawing heights with anybody else. I think Rock would have been able to draw with just about any opponent. I'm not sure Austin would have been able to draw
yeah,
just about any opponent at the same level.
Austin got to that level against Bret Hart, is how he built up to that level. And had Bret Hart stayed, I think he would have, you know, had a great rivalry there. He also had...
He wouldn't have drawn as much with Bret as he did with Vince.
Oh, no, I don't think he would have drawn as much against Vince, but with anyone, but...
Let's put it this way. Vince doesn't occur. I kind of look at the Austin, and I go Austin versus Taker,
mm-hmm.
Foley, and Triple H.
Yeah.
I don't think that would draw as much as Rock versus
certainly
Taker,
against,
Foley, and Triple H.
Certainly not against Triple H, but him and Taker was that the other thing that Austin had was that badass aura.
Yeah, absolutely. About him. And Mudge seems like a much tougher guy than The Rock. He just does.
Mm-hmm. Though that was part of the gimmick, right? So
I think he got better money. I'm not sure if it was a better promo, but a better money promo to make me want to see a guy fight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and that's when I look at when you talk about Taker, I think Austin would draw better against Taker than Rock.
Yeah.
Because Austin had that tough guy, so it's a tough guy going against the Phenom versus just, you know, Rocky against the Phenom.
Let's put it this way. Could you have seen, you take Vince McMahon out of the picture, but let's say, you have Austin versus Michaels, and you had Mike Tyson there. Mike Tyson at the time, legitimately, many people did think that guy's still the baddest man on the planet.
Right.
If you had put The Rock in that position, do you think people would have thought The Rock could stand up to a fight against Mike Tyson?
No, he couldn't have done that. I don't think you could have done that at all. So that's the thing. So the way things had went down, it was Austin, right? You couldn't have had things go down the same way by just taking one out and putting... They have the internet on computers now.
They do?
But, yeah. Got someone on the line right now. Speaking of rehabilitating, is that you, Mr. Sheen? Are you there, Mr. Sheen? Sorry,
I'm here. Everything is fantastic on my end. How are you doing over there?
We're doing fantastic. We were. I know you sent us a tweet saying that you wanted to be on the show.
I wanted to be on that show. I want to be on every show. I want to get a chance to see everybody. Everything is gnarly. It's super metaphysical of awesome. You guys talk wrestling. I'm a big wrestling fan. I'm a warrior. You know, just like the Ultimate Warrior.
You're a lot like the Ultimate Warrior, I agree. We were talking about Sheamus, but we were talking about WrestleMania earlier and the big Sheamus and Hunter, and now it's going to be Hunter and Undertaker. And so we wanted to get your thoughts on WrestleMania.
My thoughts on WrestleMania, let me tell you. Let me talk about Undertaker. You know what he's like? You know what he's doing? He's winning.
He is winning. He's got his
He's a metaphysical warrior. He's a great... That dude was a bad... I was a big fan of that guy. I don't know if you remember him. A gnarly, super awesome dude. Minor one of my all-time favorites. The Grand Wizard.
Ernie Roth. Yes, the Grand...
just like him.
You do. You seem to... I think I saw you wearing the same glasses as him. At one point in one
he
of
the... He was awesome. He's a super metaphysical warrior, a Vatican warrior, a Pope's Vatican warrior, just like me. He has tiger blood and a rhino cock.
Yes. Well, gore.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Sheen, we've got to let you go. We're running late on time.
Well, I just want to say one last thing before you do.
Absolutely.
I heard you talking about that Orlando Jordan. He's bisexual. It's kind of like me, except for I'm bi-winning. Yeah. I'm not bipolar, not by anything else. I'm just enjoying Charlie Sheen. Looking forward to Charlie Sheen. I'm like that Triple H. Triple H, when he used to have to put over an opponent, it was the right time because they were about to exceed to the top of the card. And instead, you know what he did? He was winning. I'm just like that. So I'm going to send you a copy of my new upcoming show. I've actually just done a pilot. New show coming up. It's going to be fantastic. It's me and Jeff Hardy and Taz and 2.5 Stone Men.
Absolutely. Now, we will very much look forward to getting our advance copies, say?
Advance copy.
Wow.
Because you know what? You're winning.
We are winning. Well, thank you very much, Mr. Sheen, and feel free to call back anytime. And we'll review 2.5 drunk or 2.5
stoned men.
Stoned men, as it were, when we get our advanced copy, and we'll definitely...
Fuck Russo!
First, I get them all on speed dial.
Well, you are very excited about Sean Daivari.
I am so excited to talk to Sean Daivari. I'm a big fan of Sean Daivari. What was Daivari go by in TNA again? What was his name there?
I don't even remember. Sheik Adnel Bentelon?
Yeah, something like that. He was in TNA. horribly used. So, oh, hold on. I got him on here. Hey, Sean, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan of you. I think you're a tremendous talker. I think you're a tremendous worker. I know you don't have WWE's ideal size, but I thought you were good as a manager, a great colleague. You're good in the ring. You have a good look. You're a smart guy. I'm a big fan. Now, you've recently had that tryout within the WWE, and there's a lot of talk. Are you actually going to re-sign with them? That's what I want to know first, and then if you do, what you'd like to do first. But first off, let's get the scoop. World exclusive, first interview I believe you've done since your tryout a few weeks ago. And are you planning to re-sign or any news on re-signing within the WWE? Dude, he hung
what?
Up. What? I can't believe. Other than that, I also just want to say real quickly, a man walks into a bar, orders a half dozen beers. Bartender lays them up on the counter. Man drinks the first four beers in about 3 minutes, just pounds them back. Starts in the fifth beer, and the bartender says to him, "Hey, buddy, why are you drinking so fast?" Man puts down the fifth beer and goes, "Oh, you drink fast, too, if you had what I have." Picks up the last beer, starts drinking. The bartender says, "What do you have?" Man puts it down and says, "About 75 cents. Anyways, O-U-T.
Whoa.
But anyway, so this one is
next topic here.
Yeah, this is from the real Jory Lawrence. It says, the real Jory Lawrence in St. John, St. John's, Newfoundland, I guess it is. It just says St. John's.
Okay.
But the real Jory Lawrence is wondering what are our favorite songs from the different eras, rock and wrestling, Attitude, New Generation, and The Current.
The New Generation.
New Generation. God. So what are your favorite songs from the different eras?
Well, let's start off with the greatest song of all time, Jive Soul Bro.
Yeah, Jive Soul Bro and Bad Street. Those are, I mean, when I think back to that rock, but yeah, Jive Soul, if I had to pick one, I'd slightly lean towards Jive Soul Bro. Good Lord, I fucking love that song.
You did. You liked that song almost as much as you loved Girls in Cars.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was catchy.
It was catchy. What about Crank It Up?
Crank It Up.
Remember that? The Young Stallions used Jimmy Hart's Crank It Up.
And that led to a feud, folks.
And that led to a feud with who? Who was feud? Who did they...
Was
who
it the Rougeos?
It might have been the Rougeos. That he wanted to use that song for the Rougeos, and the Young Stallions somehow managed to get the intellectual property rights to this song. I wasn't quite sure.
Obviously Demolition Song. Oh, I love that. That was awesome. That was great. But Jive Soul Bro is my favorite. But
Hogan's. I mean, Real American is classic, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah. Real American's classic, and fucking, he goes to WCW, and they decide to do a just terrible. You know, just come up.
Do you remember his album, Hogan's album?
Yes, I remember Hogan's album.
Do you remember when the Hulkster goes to heaven?
Yeah.
It's like his soft rock ballad that Hulk. Oh,
terrible,
hilarious,
but still hilarious and terrible. But this is all April Fool's Show stuff.
We'll get into that next show, but not as hilarious as
Randy Savage rapping.
Yes, so, be a man, Hulk. But let's look at the next. So that to me, rock and wrestling, anything really on the Pile Driver album. Don't Go Messing with a Country Boy.
Oh, yeah, classic.
I mean, come on.
Classic. I mean, this is one of those songs I didn't know at first that was Hillbilly Jim singing it. And when the first couple times I heard it, I thought that must have been off the radio or something, because it sounds like a legit song.
It did, yeah.
It was fantastic,
Waylon
too.
Waylon Jennings, and then it became piled over. What about All American Boys?
That was good because it was funny. I mean, that was a gimmick from the Rougeaux, these, French Canadian guys.
Well, anything Jacques Rougeau did, right?
Yeah.
The Mountie.
Yeah, I'm the Mountie. That was funny. Yeah.
We're not the Mounties.
Yeah,
we're handsome, we're brave, we're strong.
Yeah,
tremendous.
Yeah, no, it's funny, but no, it's not my favorite.
So,
Jive Soul Bro, Bad Street. Those are my two from the rock and wrestling. I'm going to move on to the new generation then.
Okay.
Of course, the era right after, in between Attitude and the rock and wrestling era,
or shit, whatever you want to call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, shit. You could call it that, you know. But it's actually kind of interesting because. Technically, I guess you wouldn't put this in there, but that's where Austin's music first probably played. You would have said that still. When do you think that – when did that
– That kicked the Attitude
era off.
I think, kind of. I mean, I guess it technically is a little bit pre-Attitude Era.
Same thing. I liked how Hunter Hearst Helmsley, as Hunter Hearst Helmsley, was coming out to that Beethoven, I think it was Beethoven's Fifth. He actually used that as, and I thought when he was still that blue bug gimmick, and that was fantastic.
I did like that.
Two other songs, then I'll say New Generation. Shawn Michaels' song.
Of course.
And my favorite, though, if I had to pick one, I love Goldust music.
And again, the Shawn Michaels is much like Austin, sort of pre New Generation, because you had Sherry Martel, Sensational Sherry, of course, singing it, because he really turned, and he was in WrestleMania 8 with that song.
That's true. He was in WrestleMania 8 with that song. But it wasn't really so much rock and wrestling, though. It was more New Generation song. But I'll go Goldust song. I love that one. Now, when Goldust first debuted, it was just that same opening theme repeated. But once they started adding layers to it, I thought it was a pretty cool theme. And they did the spotlight entrance and the gold glitter. He bought into the gimmick, and I love that song. That'd be my favorite New Generation song.
Another, you talk about, I can't believe I missed this one, but I have to go because it's in my top five of 80s songs or 80s, 90s, that early era. You just mentioned Goldust. What about The American Dream?
Oh, yeah.
The polka dots, Common Man.
American Dream. Bum, 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 bum. I'm just coming, man.
Yeah, I mean, so that's what, stop.
Yeah, okay.
No, that was one of my favorite.
So if we still have any listeners, the American Dream song was great. And you think that the American Dream song they can still play today, and they'll get a pop because the same thing with Ted DiBiase, right?
Again, yes, DiBiase, great song.
Yeah, it was just a great hook.
The Big Boss Man's Face song.
Have you ever
taken a trip down to Cobb County, Georgia? You better read the signs, respect the law and order, serving hard time.
Awesome. Awesome.
What about the Hacksaw Jim Duggan remix from that? Remember that WrestleMania techno rap that was actually produced by Simon Cowell?
I do not remember this.
You don't remember this?
In a future episode, I want to hear this.
This album that Simon Cowell produced brought us Linda McMahon's entrance music.
I do. Oh, that.
Yes. You
really?
Know, whoa.
Wow.
And then they had it was guys talking, and then they'd eventually like get into like almost like a techno type rap. And he's like, I got my 2x4, I got my 2x4, and then USA, USA.
Yeah, I sort of remember it now.
And Bret Hart had one, Macho Man had one, I think Mr. Perfect had one. Mr. Perfect's music.
I don't know what era that falls in.
That's all of them.
He spanned the whole deal, right? But that was great. So gold. But anyways, I pick Goldust.
New Generation. I am going to have to go with "I'll Be Your Hero." Lex Luger. No, I will. You know what music I actually really enjoyed from the New Generation was Razor Ramon.
Yeah. Well, it's, again, you just remember it.
Well, yeah, but it's great.
That's the thing. It's just a very memorable theme. Yeah.
And they didn't have a lot of songs like with words and stuff in that era.
No, they really didn't.
The Bretts and I mean Sean had music had songs. What about the Lives Are Gonna Be and Waylon Mercy's Hands?
Yeah, that was. You know what? Actually, when Kevin Nash when he redebuted just recently at the Royal Rumble, they had his honking. But when they actually added that blues harmonica music to it. That was pretty damn good. That was a good hook. I like the blues harmonica from his era, too.
When we talk about the New Generation, what about WCW?
Yeah.
They had their album there with Ravishing Rick Rude, Mr. Bang Bang for Cactus Jack.
Mr. Bang Bang was pretty cool.
Man Called Sting.
Well, that's Man Called Sting. Sting, man historically, Sting. Until kind of the Crow Sting, had the worst music ever.
Yeah.
He's a Man Called Sting. A Man Called Sting. I think the third lyric was, if I remember correctly.
He does this, he does that.
And then something along the lines of, he's a man called Sting.
He's quick as a cat or something.
It's really kind of the similar lyrics, I think, to what R-Truth has with, What's Up.
It's true, but they would actually play Sting's music outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin.
That's true. Sting has had the worst music, I think, of anybody who ever became popular for a long, long time.
Yes.
His was terrible. But that's actually one thing you can always say, though. Until Jimmy Hart actually started working for that company, and even for a while afterwards, and he actually right until the end, WCW's music was never as good as WWE's music.
No.
They always were behind.
Well,
there.
Okay, let's look at some WCW. What are some good WCW songs? The NWO was good.
The NWO, yeah.
The Wolf Pack.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah, the Wolf Pack I loved. Yeah, the Wolf Pack was one of my favorites.
They still use that in some of the rodeo. There's a team called the Wolf Pack or whatever. So whenever they play, they do that.
Yeah, no, that was good stuff. And they tried to do a rip-off for that in TNA here recently. I mean, yes, they were using a lot of stuff where they
rip-off in TNA?
Rip-off really? In TNA. Well, rip-off in WCW, because they were using DDP had Nirvana music. And
Jericho
had Pearl Jam. And Raven had
Nirvana.
Pearl Jam.
Oh, was it Pearl Jam?
Yeah, Pearl, you know, Raven actually, though.
No,
did,
Raven had Nirvana. Cause,
was it?
Yeah, he had, because DDP, of course, had Smells Like Teen Spirit. And I'm trying to remember what Raven. I think it was another Nevada. Anyway,
but you know whose music
Jeff
I love?
Jeff Jarrett had
WCW?
A Kid Rock ripoff. Song.
That's right. Jeff Jarrett had a Kid. They really did a lot of that. But you know who I think had good music? And I guess this probably would have been about the time of the Attitude Era, because this is kind of Eddie Guerrero and Chavo Guerrero used it for a while in the WWE.
Yeah.
That.
I think he still does use it.
No, he's got the Chavo thing, right?
Yeah.
Right? But that it was real good heel music. Probably maybe my favorite music coming out of WCW ever.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, it was
my
right
favorite
up there,
music
right
coming
up
out
there.
Of WCW ever was Rap Is Crap.
Well, there is that. Rap Is Crap was fan fucking tastic.
Fantastic.
Absolutely.
Okay, so New Generation, and what about the Attitude Era?
Attitude Era had a lot of good music, man. Attitude Era, I mean, obviously, the music, you talk about how Austin's music kicked off the Attitude Era, mm-hmm. and it did kind of in a little bit of a deeper bass and the rhythm, a little bit of a harder edged feel to it. But when you really think Attitude Era and a song that defines it is that DX song,
right? Are
you
ready? Yeah.
I think that's the song that first pops to mind is, yeah.
Yeah.
It's the DX song, and it's a good song.
The Human Oddities.
The Oddities was great. I love fucking ICP coming out with Odysseys. Oddities was fucking fantastic.
How'd you really feel, though?
I love that.
what else?
It's all right.
Yeah, I hated it. But no, it was good. I'm trying to think of the other, do you smell what The Rock is cooking? I mean, that again.
I think it's more the opening to that than it was.
Well, yeah,
Booker T's
I like
music.
Doing the thing where it's like, The Rock says, no, you know what I mean? He just had that...
Yeah.
Thing.
Well, what they took was they took essentially when they got The Rock says. I mean, that was what they did with Ted DiBiase earlier, and that's what the NWO did with theirs, right?
I have a friend that always wanted to play Edge's music. You think you know me? You think like when I had the music CD from back then that I'd have it in my car or whatever, he'd always be like, "Go to this one," and he'd always
really.
Jeff would always go to Edge's music for some reason. I never there was no words to it or anything. Like you know, he's like, "You think you know
me?" Speaking of friends, and before then, I forget a second time here, I got to remember to thank my friend Brett M. For all the hard work he did in Two and a Half Stone Men, Brett was responsible really for most of the genius of that, the post production, and also for dropping in a goodie for us in the beginning of the last episode, the song that we wish we had the technical skill to put in ourselves. But
yeah,
thank you very much. Above and beyond, Brett. But back to music and Coliseum Home Video, obviously one of my favorites too. But back to the Attitude Era. Booker T and WCW, I like that music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Can You Dig It or Sucker? Was that?
Yeah,
no,
is that?
Yes. No.
Yeah, that was good music. I think Conan actually pretty good.
Conan did the Wolf Pack, and then Conan had some. What about Disco Inferno?
Well, Disco Inferno was really I love that. Disco Inferno is actually going to be on our show in the next little while.
You will, yeah.
I was just on the phone with him last night, and I got to keep him off. Like he went on for hours.
Well, he kept thinking you were a Martian.
Yeah,
but no, I think that
all the Martians happened before.
Mm, that's true. Yeah. I'm trying to think of any other music that y'all. I'm an ass man. Come on.
Yeah, that was fucking fantastic.
I love to touch them. I love to rub them.
That
love to kick them.
That was fucking hilarious.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, Attitude. I think Attitude, just as a general rule, everything felt so good. It's tough to think of something that's really standing
Chris
out.
Chris Jericho,
Break the Walls Down. I was saying recently when he came back and he was doing this Nick Bockwinkel type character, the one thing they should have done was change his music.
Yes,
because I didn't think that music suited the new character.
No,
Jericho's music was fantastic as well. So
what about Hunter? Has anybody had more music than Hunter?
The one I liked the most was Our Time. That one, what was it called?
Yeah,
that one?
Yeah,
that was, again, the DX band.
That Chris Warren band.
Well, actually, the one I liked the most probably is that King of Kings. I really liked that.
Yeah, song. I liked that he said the King of Kings. He had the It's Time to Play the Game. He had the Evolution song. He had the It's My Time song.
Well, Taker had probably had as many songs. Taker during the the Attitude Era had a constant kind of shifting of his music.
Yeah.
Constantly, you know, the same theme, but for many, even before he became the American Badass, and as the American Badass, he had two songs.
At least.
He had Limp Bizkit and Kid Rock is that.
And then he had that other shit song that Jim Johnson
made. Oh, that one.
Fucking awful.
Oh, yeah.
It was horrible.
It was like a bluesy type song.
Yeah, it was shit, whatever it was.
You're gonna pay.
That was around. We talked about the greatness of
You're gonna pay. Yeah.
It was. We talked about the greatness of Jim Ross. How about around exactly the same time of You're Gonna Pay? That was around the time that Jim Ross was calling Undertaker Booger Red, which I thought was the stupidest thing I'd ever heard.
Yeah, but he also called him Big Evil and the Red Devil, and
But Booger Red was just Booger Red.
No, what was actually there was a meaning behind that.
I don't care. Still,
but do you remember what it was?
No, I don't.
I don't remember. Yeah, but Booger Red. But I like Big Evil.
What about Ernest the Cat Miller?
Oh yeah,
dun, dun, dun. I'm the greatest.
Yeah, good stuff.
Or
good
his
stuff.
WWF music was Somebody Call My Mama.
That was awesome. Yeah, that was kind of that was almost post Attitude Era, I think you could say.
But, oh, definitely post Attitude Era.
But good, yeah. I mean, a lot of good stuff back in that era. Yeah. And Mick Foley, I think he had good music. Yeah, I like the concept of coming to the ring and leaving the ring as Mankind is different stuff. And,
when he first came in, and he had the piano
Cactus
playing.
Jack music, and I think that was good stuff.
It wasn't
too.
The Cactus Jack, it was his Mankind. Remember, he had the
piano?
Cactus Jack,
he had good music too.
Oh, yeah.
I like that, so, yeah. I think he had some good themes as well. So.
Yeah, so.
All right, speaking of music, I think we have somebody on the line.
Do we have someone?
Yeah. Do you see him? Is he calling in? Is he there?
Let me make sure. Hello, hello, are you there?
Hello, this is Ryan Seacrest for American Idol.
Ryan Seacrest, how are you? Thanks for coming on.
Is this We Talk Wrestling?
This is We Talk Wrestling. Yes, it is.
Well, thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for coming on.
I'm a huge wrestling fan.
That's what
I'm looking forward to talking about all my favorites.
I got to be honest. When I got the when you tweeted me, I actually saying you wanted to come on the show. I actually thought it was a hoax. Just so you know, you never know these.
It was not a hoax.
No,
I've had for many years many favorites in the squared circle.
Oh, well, who are some of your favorites then?
I was a big fan originally of Adrian Adonis.
Oh, Adrian, adorable Adrian Adonis.
Absolutely.
The East-West Connection? Did you like the East-West Connection? Or
no, after that.
After, okay, so when he came in and was with Jimmy Hart.
No, after that.
Oh, so when he feuded with Roddy Piper.
Yes.
Okay.
That was when I was a big fan of Adrian Adonis.
Okay, well, yeah, no, unfortunately, Adrian has passed away, but
he's no longer with us?
He is no longer with us, unfortunately. No, it was, I believe it was in Newfoundland. He got a car accident and passed away.
That's a shame.
What is? Who else were some of your favorites?
Well, he's a leader. He has leadership qualities. When he walks to the ring, even when he was when he does a conference call for his investors, when he's an announcer, you sense Vince McMahon's leadership qualities. Linda McMahon obviously also has the leadership qualities. She did run the corporation, now, probably not to the level of Vince, and it didn't come across on TV when she was portraying a character. But behind the scenes, and also in her run for the Senate, there's no question Linda McMahon has leadership qualities.
I think Stephanie has shown some leadership qualities. Good or bad, their leadership qualities. That was a knock on Shane McMahon, lack of leadership qualities. But Vince McMahon is a leader. You sense it from him.
Yeah, there's no question.
What kind of leader do you sense that Dixie is? Does she have any leadership qualities at all?
Well, there's no question that, I mean, and this has been said for years and years and years, and it's the reason that the WWE won the war, is that Vince is the boss, and then the buck stops with Vince, right? When you talk about Dixie being the leader, as I said, it's very clear to me now, after this, you know, couple Jeff Hardy incidents, just the way that Hogan was able to go on TV and shoot on her. You know, basically everything since we've started this show that we've talked about with TNA makes it very clear that Dixie doesn't have any leadership qualities whatsoever. Dixie likes to go on Twitter. Dixie likes to sit in the back. They go, hey, Dixie, how does this look? And she goes, yeah, cool. And then she goes into the crowd and shakes people's hands. Dixie is someone that is a public – I mean, that's her background is public relations, and that's what she knows, and that's what she does, and that's what she's good at is being that smiley face. I mean, she's a very nice-looking woman that can go out and talk about her wrestling company that she has, and people can go, oh, great, well, that Dixie Carter, what a great, you know, what a great lady. But in terms of what actually happens and the ability to say, you know, to the buck stops with Dixie, no.
No, and you know what? I'd like to say this first off before I go off on Dixie a little more here. Man. First off, I would
fuck Russo!
I think Sheamus is going to be a huge babyface star when they turn
him. I do think that Sheamus can be a great babyface.
He's entertaining. He's good in the ring. He's good on the mic. He's got
They're
a couple geniuses, and they're going to fill us in and let us know. Beavis and Butthead. What's up?
How's it going, Mo?
Good. What are you going to say about The Rock and Cena? Do you guys have comments?
Yeah, John Cena. Hustle. Loyalty. Respect. You can't see me. Shut up, Beavis. No way. Yeah, shut up, Beavis. I smell what The Rock is cooking. The Rock is awesome. You're just a turd, Beavis.
No, wait. You can't see me.
What about The Miz? Isn't he the one who's awesome?
Ching-gang.
The Miz isn't awesome. The Miz is an awesome piece of crap.
Yeah. Miz sucks ass. Yeah, totally. Not like John Cena. John Cena. He's the greatest. The greatest. I love John Cena. He just, you know, he wrestles and then he raps a lot. You're a rapper.
Beavis, do you need to take a pill?
No. I just like John Cena so much. He's just a man. I think he's so great.
Well, The Rock is gonna kick his ass, Beavis. The Rock's gonna destroy him.
No way. He's gonna do the five knuckle shuffle. I like the five knuckle shuffle.
I bet you like the five knuckle shuffle, Beavis.
Yeah, it's the greatest. It's the greatest in it. And then he's got the FU and the attitude adjustment. He's got all those moves.
He's gonna take a people's elbow because that guy just rocks. He just rocks everything, Beavis. He cuts a promo. He doesn't matter what your name is.
No.
Yes, Beavis.
All right, guys, you know what? That's just the type of conversation. You ever go to a wrestling event and you turn to the people?
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Cunt.
As far as the streak, I do have my opinion on it, but I'd like to hear yours first.
The streak, I mean, to me...
I think we know he won't lose it. The question is, should he lose it?
I don't think he should. And the reason that I don't think he should really has nothing against... let's preface this now with saying that 3 years from now, the landscape of professional wrestling, of sports entertainment, could be completely different. You know, we could be looking at, I mean...
We might not be PG anymore.
Well, I mean, it's not PG, but I mean, when you look at... Well, let's look at 1996, at SummerSlam, when Vader was fighting Shawn Michaels,
yeah.
And you had your TL Hoppers with the Snicker bar doing the old, in the pool, doing the old Caddyshack gimmick, right? And you had all that. I mean, and you know, Marty Jannetty, it was a horrible card, 1995, 1996. And then you look at, I'll use 95 because I think that was worse, but you look at 95 and then you transition 2 years to SummerSlam Heart and Soul, which was really beginning to be the turnaround of the company. And that was just 2 years. So to say in 2 years from now, even though things are looking, you know, not that great, what's going to happen in 2 years? You don't know. They luck into something, something happens and away we go, right? So my point being is that with Taker in the streak, I don't see anybody right now that's worthy of having the streak broken. And that's no reflection on the individual performers. That's, again, going back to the guy that's going to be writing for them, because the top performer that's beating the Undertaker's streak is going to be on Raw. And Brian Gewirtz and the Raw writing team will not allow for any growth or any storylines. They're not good at it.
This is the thing that you said, you know, you never know what it's going to be like in a couple of years. You never know what they're going to lock into. And I do really believe
anything
that
can happen.
With the right, well, yeah, anything can happen. Anything can happen but my ass. The thing is, I don't think that the way that they do it now, the way they develop characters, the way they write promos, the way that they tell everybody, come in with your same haircut, wrestle the same, talk the same, that there's any chance they're going to luck into anything. I think they're just going to, I think they're a good TV product, much like, you know, Jay Leno comes out there every night and does basically the same product for 15 years, and it's a good TV product.
But you said it was a good TV product.
Well, it's not a good TV product compared to Letterman, my personal opinion, because Letterman has six more chances and more interesting. And that's my point, though.
Yeah, but if Letterman's never.
No, I had a friend who worked at an ice cream shop, and I used to say to him, what's your number one selling ice cream? And he'd say to me, vanilla. And it blows my mind. I mean, I knew somebody else who worked at a 7-Eleven. What sells the most? Coke. Well, Coke is pretty bland, but you know what it tastes like. It tastes familiar. Vanilla tastes familiar.
I bet it does.
Yeah. The people will go
into... He's also a midget.
People, I was once told when I worked for a pizza company that they looked at another company, a McDonald's, and they said, what is it McDonald's does really, really well? They consistently make a shitty burger, but they consistently make it everywhere in the world the exact same.
Well, not everywhere in the world, but okay.
Okay, but the point is that that I don't really think they're going to luck into anything. Now, as far as The Undertaker, I do think that the only way that this streak in the end means anything is if he gives it to somebody else, if he puts somebody else over. The power, it's like a belt. You don't go, you're supposed to do the honors. You're supposed to do the honors as Taker, too. A lot of people have put him over
the
years.
It's a time-honored tradition.
It's a time-honored tradition. The time comes when he is ready to retire. He needs to lose to somebody. So, A, that person, two reasons. Number one, that person can draw money as the guy who ended the streak, and people will hate him. People will hate him for a long time. They can draw money immediately afterwards. You can have people going out to take him for that.
So,
you can have him at Mania the next couple of years. You could even have Taker come back and have a rematch against him.
So he's going to put the guy over.
You put a guy over. Okay. It finally. The second thing is, if you ever want to do a second streak, that streak will only make money and matter as much as this one if this streak is broken.
Well, let's just say, though, if the Taker's going to put the guy over and it's going to be the, you know, the passing of the torch and the next guy, my question, and Taker's going to do this, is my question then is how long is Kane going to wrestle after?
Obviously, Kane is not the ideal guy, but there are guys out there. There are guys out there that are young veterans. Husky Harris. There's guys out there that are young veterans, and there is somebody else you never know. That next guy that comes up, the next time they want to build a streak at Mania, you want it to draw money, you want it to mean as much as this one, it has to be, can this guy do what Taker didn't do? And if you take or doesn't, A, put somebody over to give that person the rub to make that person a drawing card, and B, give somebody else the opportunity to have this gimmick, then it's a failure in my opinion.
Well,
so, yes, I believe Undertaker finally,
what's
when
he
it's
at, though?
Comes,
what's he at?
Should lose. What, I believe he's 18-0 right now.
Okay, so you got 19-0. I think 20-0 is quite frankly the perfect number. Because you go 20-0, and the reality...
19-1 is the perfect number.
See, I think 20-0 and out, and then you've got your easy Hall of Famer for next year, you know, for the following year, I should say. And then, you know...
Undertaker's career won't mean less if he loses. He still is probably going to go down as the number one superstar in the history of the company, no matter what, even if
he
loses.
Well, he's the best gimmick.
He's certainly the best gimmick.
He is certainly.
And they'll probably promote him as the number one superstar, I believe, when his career is over.
Sean is.
Yeah, Sean is
right now. Yeah. But now Rock's back, and Austin's back, and you know, a couple of years from now, Flair will be back, and so he'll be great again, and
yeah,
Hogan
exactly.
will be back, and, you know, so it
and
just...
And at some point in time, whether or not he's wants to do it himself, the living legend Bruno Sammartino will go into the Hall of Fame.
Do think that it was a great seller for the DVD. You know, I would buy if they packaged it. I mean, I had the first one, it was by itself, but I would buy WrestleMania, the DVD 3-disc set, just because one of those discs was the Hall of Fame when they did the one in Chicago and the one in Los Angeles, and then they when they started to cut the times down, to me, giving Terry and Dory Funk both 2 minutes to talk
ridiculous.
About their career. I mean, it is ridiculous.
Did they have time limits on the year that Greg the Hammer Valentine went in?
I think it was. I don't think so because
think so?
His induction speech it took Greg Valentine 45 minutes just to get warmed up.
Yes. That. Maybe that one.
Oh, you did.
No, I was disappointed. My most disappointed, where I kind of gave up on the Hall of Fame to some degree, I agree with Coco. And, you know, I know that they're trying to prevent or present a level of diversity. So they try and put in maybe a manager, maybe a female, maybe a tag team. They try and put in some different ethnicities. And they're trying to present – it is a marketing tool. And I know they're trying to do this. And a lot of people look at Coco Beware and say that's why he got in, because of his the color of his skin. And that's a damn shame. And the truth is he wasn't a big star. He didn't draw big houses. He didn't draw big pay-per-view draws within the WWE. He was a mid-card act. He had a terrific gimmick, one of the most memorable gimmicks, great singing voice. He had a great career outside of the WWE, but they don't acknowledge it. If they acknowledge that and push that, then it would seem a little bit more legitimate, but they don't do that. And this is a damn shame, because Coco Beware deserves better. He deserves better than to be told or be viewed as a person who got in because Michael Hayes made insensitive comments to Mark Henry and to Bobby Lindsay, Lashley.
Yeah.
But you know,
the thing is he deserves
better than that. I feel sorry for the guy. It's not that it's not right for him to be in. It's good for him. He can go to an autograph signing as a WWE Hall of Famer and draw more money. I'm just saying that the guy deserves better than have people view him that way, because he really did have a terrific career at one point.
Well, he did, and I that was the point I was going to mention, is that you say he's just in because they like to put a level of minorities in there, and I don't see why you'd say, you know, put Coco Beware in because he's black when, you know, clearly you have Michael Hayes there ready to go in. So
when they already put in Dusty, was it the year before?
Dusty was the year before. And and that's the thing that I look forward to is, again, they've got it. I like the structure that they've got it set up with the main event, the upper mid, and some mid card to opening acts. I mean, going in, and people are very well. I can't think of too many guys. You know, they talk about the James Dudley. From way back in, that was Vince's limo driver.
It was so
driver.
Long ago, and it wasn't really a TV thing, so it didn't bother me to have his limo driver in. Who I think is a black man, wasn't he?
He was, yes, he was. So there you go, another name's Mo. Jeez, what are you trying to tell us here?
Nothing. But you know what? Actually, the moment where I kind of gave up on the Hall of Fame was before the Coco thing. Like I said, I think he deserves better, and I think he deserves better recognition. So I think it's a shame for him to be viewed that way. He deserves more. But I'm going to say this: who doesn't deserve more? A man who should be in a Hall of Fame, but not the WWE's, or at least if he should be in the WWE's, it shouldn't be just as a marketing ploy because he can't get into the baseball. Baseball Hall of Fame. Where I kind of gave up on it was Pete Rose, because the Pete Rose thing was obviously just them trying to get publicity and just mm-hmm. them trying to. And you know what? I understand trying to get publicity. I understand all that. But there's a point where it's like, are you going to hold the Hall of Fame? It's the fucking Hall of Fame. You say Hall of Fame in any other sport. You say in the Football Hall of Fame, the Hockey Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame. All these are supposed to be held at a higher standard, theoretically. So mm-hmm. if you're going to do a Hall of Fame, you should be trying to – this is the one time I just wanted the WWE to hold something at a higher standard. And when Pete Rose went in, just because it was obvious he wasn't going to get into the Baseball Hall of Fame, because he had a book coming out where he admitted that he had gambled and it was a marketing ploy, I kind of gave up on them. He was entertaining at WrestleMania, but a Hall of Famer
And the celebrity wing and
– Not the way it was done and the timing. That's where I kind of went
That was the first one. That was the first one that they brought it back, and he gave it up already. That was the same one that Bobby Heenan went in, and Chico Santana and Greg the Hammer Valentine and Harley Race and Big John Studd and JVD.
How long did it take Greg the Hammer Valentine to get in?
Oh, geez, at least 45 minutes, at least 45. But I mean, and Sergeant Slaughter, and you had was Sergeant Slaughter going in, or was he being inducted? I don't even remember honestly. I think he went in. But I mean, you had.
I'm not going to say to you who in Morocco didn't get in because that Bob Backlund thing. I don't want to embarrass myself a second time.
That's right, Mr. Bob Backlund not yet in. But I mean, and then you had Sheiky and Roddy Piper and Hulk Hogan and Orndorff and Nikolai Volkov. I look at it that, Pete Rose went in. Bob Uecker went in.
I don't mind Bob Uecker so much because Bob Uecker should go in. I'm not even saying Pete Rose shouldn't go in. I'm saying that the way they did it was in a marketing tool instead of to acknowledge his contributions. It was – I just want the Hall of Fame to be at a higher standard. And speaking of which, let me hit another subject then regarding the Hall of Fame because
agree you're wrong there and we'll move to the next one.
Well, I'm talking about them wanting to be at a higher standard. And so the question is to you – since there's only one other real national wrestling company, should TNA institute a Hall of Fame?
Should TNA institute a Hall of Fame? No, not yet. TNA has been around, what we talk about, 8 years? Who would go into a TNA Hall of Fame?
Well, again, it doesn't have to be people that have had a huge TNA career. It doesn't have to be AJ Styles just because he's been there the whole time. It could be a legitimate Hall of Fame. It could be an attempt to be, could be who
Think
would be
about
the
this.
First people. I mean, don't get me wrong. Would it be huge if they could get Bruno Sammartino in when the WWE couldn't? Absolutely.
That'd
be awesome. But, I mean, if they could put in your Carl Gotch, if you could put in you could put in a Mick Foley, you could put in a Hulk Hogan, you could put in these people that are over there and still highlight some people from the past, Ed Strangler Lewis, people like that. You could put a really diverse Hall of Fame.
You're talking about TNA and putting on a legitimate Hall of Fame, the same companies that employs Vince Russo. It's not happening. It's completely night and day. It's black and white. It's the polar opposites of each other.
Vince Russo could induct himself as the first person.
And there you go. And Orlando Jordan would get in. And no, I mean, when TNA is even 20 years old, and you've got a generational gap that you can move, that people can associate with TNA, then sure, they can have a Hall of Fame. WWF, WWE, they won the war. They are wrestling. They are sports entertainment, whatever you call it. They're the top.
I don't call it sports entertainment.
No, but they're the top of the rung, and they write the history books, and they get the Hall of Fame. TNA doing a Hall of Fame you'd be looking at, you talk about WWE Hall of Fame, you talk about the Cauliflower Alley, you talk about the one in the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame in Missouri or
something like that,
in your Canada, I think. But, I mean, there's even one in the amateur, and there's another one in New York, or there was. I mean, and then you would have the TNA Hall of Fame. It would be that far down. You'd get on the list. You might as well just have a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla Hall of Fame, for God's sakes. I mean, it would be, to me, the same thing.
It's different. It's a national stage where they could try and do something right that the WWE has done wrong. And how about this then? Okay, yeah. If you're saying they shouldn't do a Hall of Fame, I'm not saying I necessarily disagree with you on this. I'm playing devil's advocate to some degree, and I'm just bringing up the point.
Right.
It's an interesting concept of TNA doing it. I kind of don't like the idea of them starting a new Hall of Fame. I do like the idea of them kind of partnering with the Pro Wrestling Hall of Fame or Cauliflower Alley. Highlighting that, giving it some national exposure, highlighting the inductees every year, highlighting the past inductees, kind of giving that some exposure in a way that is beneficial, positive to both parties.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
I think that would be great.
See, I have no problem with that. To me, that's along the same lines as when WCW used to partner up with Bill Apter, right? In the PWI, the Pro Wrestling Illustrated yearly awards, you know, some of them would get, or in the AWA used to do this too, is when they would win an award, they'd have Bill Apter.
Want me to hit the Briscoes up?
Let's hit the Briscoes, yeah.
Okay. So I'll just give them a call here. Do you want to?
Yeah, we're going to get both on the line, right?
I think so,
yeah. Let me know. Give me a signal when you have them on the line, and I'll just throw a question out there.
Okay, yeah, because you had the first question there. So
that's pretty easy tonight. Jay and Mark Briscoe, the Briscoe brothers, great tag team. Thank you very much for joining us, and I just want to know, what are your thoughts on the events that occurred tonight?
Yeah, shit. Shit, Mo. Shit. Fuck. Shit. All that Express. Red. Shit. Just got. You know what? All that Express. Johnny come lately. Shit. They just sneak up on me. Shit. You know, we the Briscoes, man.
Briscoes.
Shit. We've been there since day one.
Day
shit.
One.
We the Briscoes, a.k.a. the boys, a.k.a. there since day one, a.k.a. great people. And all that shit, they sneak up on me like that, and they get the pin, shit, you know, we got our revenge, though, shit, we, you know, them world's greatest, wrestling's greatest tag team, shit, they know, they dealing now, they dealing with the Briscoes, a.k.a. the Chair Shots, a.k.a. there since day one,
shit. Well, that's okay. No, that was great. That's great. So what are your plans going forward here? What are you going to do next?
Tag titles, man. Shit. We are the 7-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions.
7-time?
Shit, Mo.
Shit.
You know, shit, that we 7-time champions, Mo. Shit. We going out there. We drinking. We eating chunky soup. Campbell's chunky soup. Shit.
Shit.
Just to get ready for this match. We coming out. We the
no
next,
beer.
We the next tag champions. We drink beer. We will drink beer. But we will drink beer after we win. And after we come 8 times, shit, we going to become the 8-time Ring of Honor Tag Team Champions because we've been there since day one.
Yeah.
Shit.
That's it. Addy, do you have any questions there?
I just wanted to say, you know, thanks, guys. Thanks so much for coming on. First off, and I just want to know again. You were eliminated first. You've got. Do you guys have any inroads? Anything you think you're going to be able to? I mean, you attacked Wrestling's Greatest Tag Team afterwards. The All Night Express came out. They with the polls, they ran you off there. Shit, and they thought that you know, maybe that sets up a match. Well, what are your real plans? Do you have any dates, any pay-per-view? Do you know? Well, shit, we going after, don't matter who we go after, because we've been there, you know. You
don't matter.
Murphy Rec Center. Murphy Rec. We wrestle in Murphy Rec. I wrestled Samoa Joe. I wrestled Spanky. You know him as Brian Kendrick. I know him as Spanky, because we've been there since day one.
Day one?
Shit. And shit, we just, I've beat Samoa Joe, Amazing Red. Amazing Red. And shit, since day one, the Briscoe's been there 18 years old. Shit, breaking our bones. Shit, breaking our bones. Shit, full Ring of Honor, day one, Murphy Rec. We got a bounce. Shit, thanks for having us.
I got one last question for you guys. I know you had a tryout match with WWE, and there's TNA out there, and you guys have been there since day one. Have you ever thought about expanding and going to TNA or something like that?
TNA. You know what? Fuck TNA. TNA, in fact, what the fuck they call themselves? There's no shit on Spike TV.
Shit, I don't watch that shit.
I'm a grown man. I don't watch that shit.
Shit.
We ain't not going to TNA. Shit.
Pussies.
No more. Heard it here first, day one, Ring of Honor, we Ring of Honor, TNA, suck my ass, shit.
Shit.
All right, guys, well, thanks for coming on. Shit, thanks for having us. All right, guys, thanks so much.
Well, that was
that was perfect. J. Mark Briscoe.
That was fantastic. Briscoe again, boys. Go watch them on ROH. Let's hear it.
Fuck it. Heath Slater.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I honestly, I don't know the whole story. It happened in Atlanta, did it? And it was Heath Slater was accused of choking a woman, forcing him to the bed, to his bedroom to bone her. Isn't that what happened?
Basically, I'll go through it then. Heath Slater, there's a woman named Corrine Oliver, security guard with Allied Barton Security Services.
Oliver knows.
Oliver knows. She had to struggle to fight off Slater. He grabbed her by the neck and tried to force her into his hotel room. The police came. It was taking place between 4 and 5 a.m. at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Atlanta. Oliver's attorney, Jackie Patterson, told the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that she was working at the hotel trying to keep fans out. She claimed Slater asked her to go to his room, and she declined. He started telling her she was pretty and hot and those type of things. The next thing you need to know, she was in a chokehold. I don't think this is funny, dude. And she was dragging her and bending her backwards, trying to get her.
New Jack. I was thinking about giving him a call, but that's who we wanted to have a guest on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If you want to give him a call, yeah, it's definitely. Yeah. I talked to him last week, but yeah, give him a call. Give him a call.
Okay, hold on. Hold on, folks. You just sing or something, Addy. I'm going to start dialing.
Oh, radio.
Got him.
Okay.
Thank God. New Jack, how's it going?
Fuck. Hey. Motherfucker.
Hey, New Jack.
What the fuck you doing?
Motherfuck?
Motherfuck. Fuck, motherfuck. What are you fucking doing?
Motherfucking motherfuck. All right, New Jack, you know what?
Fuck, that's what I said, motherfucker. Are you mocking me? Are you fucking mocking me?
No, I'm sorry, New Jack. I'm sorry. Please don't stab me.
Fuck you.
You're apparently, I just want to talk about that. I understand you had a lot you wanted to say about those racist comments Addy made.
Fucking you and fucking Mo are fucking calling a spade, motherfucker. I'll fuck come over here and fuck you up, Mo. Fuck. I heard what you said, Mo. Fuck.
No, it wasn't me. It was the other guy.
Fuck. I didn't even have fucking friends. I didn't fucking, we'd fuck good. Fuck. You fuck. Who fuck, motherfucker? I'll fuck you up, motherfucker, if I ever fucking see you fuck.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That
fuck,
was
a question for me or fuck what?
I'm sorry. You're currently dating Terry Runnels.
Fuck,
is that
yeah.
correct?
Fucking sweet. Fuck.
Yeah? You're
fuck shit. Fuck.
Shit?
Shit. Fuck. Shit.
All right. So I guess that sums up your relationship with her?
Fuck. Fucking.
All right. And anything else? Anybody else you want to...
A big fucking back cock, tell you that. Fuck.
Okay. And she swallows that? Oh, I don't want to know.
Fuck no. Fuck you don't want to fucking know.
No. And you're doing some comedy tours, is that correct?
Fuck, I'm fucking hilarious. Fuck.
All right.
See? Fucking making you laugh. Fuck.
All right. Shit.
Shit. Fuck.
Bye, New Jack.
Fuck, thanks.
Or Mystico or whoever the fuck it was, coming out and just hitting high-flying, impressive moves after impressive
well,
moves
what he
in
did,
a row on
yeah.
on
and the finish
later and then getting the pin.
And the finish was similar to the second finish of their three finishes.
Yes.
Where he did the double line, so he just did it better. Because
yeah.
the second time he did fuck that up anyway. Highlight of this third match was Heath Slater leaving and turning to the crowd and going, I'm fucking money.
That was awesome.
And we went, oh good, that's PG. To which he said he was fucking money, and of course my thought was against their will.
Yes.
So,
no kidding.
But
no kidding. What's his new finisher? I heard he's coming out with a chokehold.
I think he's gonna use the choke. I think it's gonna use the guillotine.
It'll drag.
Whoa. Public appearance, his first public interview since being about a week ago released from World Wrestling Entertainment. So why don't you go ahead and try to get him on the line here then?
Hey, Oh yeah, I wasn't supposed to do that anymore.
That's retarded.
I forgot. Vladimir.
You're retarded.
Vladimir.
Yee.
Oleg.
This is Mo.
Should I call you Oleg? This is Mo.
Mo.
Is this Is this Vladimir?
Yes.
Should I call you Vlad, or should I call you Vladimir, or Oleg, your real name? What?
You make.
What am I going?
You call me Kozlov.
Kozlov. Excellent, Kozlov. I just want to know, let's start off with, so you were, of course, hired by and fired by John Laurinaitis.
Yes.
And just your thoughts on John Laurinaitis.
If he dies, he dies.
That seems a little harsh. So you had your last match. It was against Mark Henry.
Yes.
They sent you out with an injury angle and to leave. And I'm just wondering, what did they tell you on your way out to the ring?
You will lose.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Well, so then you knew you were going to... Well, did Mark Henry say anything to you? Because it was a pilmanizing angle they were doing with him, you know? And
I must break you.
Oh, okay. So you're... he broke your ankle or something.
Yes.
What? Yes. You're a long-time listener of We Talk Wrestling, aren't you?
I love double T double.
You love double T double.
Yes.
You should. And we love Vladimir.
Yes. I cannot be defeated. I beat all men. Someday, I will be the real champion.
So you're going to go back and face... Oh, CM Punk, they're saying. Not Cena. You're going to face CM Punk? Real champion?
In Russia, CM Punk's you.
Of course it does.
Yes.
Yes. Any last things you want to say? Any last subjects you want to hit?
I love double T double.
Yeah, no, I think you already said that. What about your wrestling career? Any last place you're going to go with that?
I love double T double.
Well, we know. Anything else?
More. I must go.
Thank you, lad.
Wow. Vladimir Kozlov. That's good. That's great. What a great get. I mean, we found out, really, I think we may kind of know a little bit of his side of the story now. You know, you hear the WWE side as to how he was released and why he was released, and it's good to get, you know, his viewpoint on it and
I got to be honest with you, Addy, I didn't feel like I got enough out of him. I don't feel like I did my end. I didn't feel like that was my best work as an interviewer.
It's like when you were in prison.
Yeah.
With your end.
What? Yeah.
You didn't feel like you got your end.
Oh, no, I...
Yeah, he throws Christian underneath the ring, and of course I turn to Addy and go, well, now he's going to be stuck with the midgets.
That's right.
But,
going to court.
Yeah, the little people. What do you think draws more? Great heel? What do you think means more for business?
A great heel or a great baby face? To me, I say a great baby face draws more in the overall picture. But I think you need to have that great heel to jumpstart everything.
Well, I mean, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper.
Hulk Hogan and Roddy Piper.
Yeah.
Steve Austin.
Who?
Hmm?
Huh?
Steve Austin.
Oh, yeah, he had somebody.
Yeah, he had somebody.
Vince McMahon, Mr. McMahon character.
I was going to say Bret Hart.
Well, you know what, to some degree, too. Yeah, and Bret Hart had Steve Austin because it started off the other way. True, you do have – I mean, you can't say that the babyface doesn't mean more because you look at the biggest drawing guys and you look at Steve Austin, but it wasn't just him. You know, you look at Hulk Hogan, but it wasn't just him. But the advantage they have for business, obviously.
What do you mean it wasn't just him?
Well, it wasn't just him. It was Roddy Piper. It was the rock and wrestling whole thing, the Cyndi Lauper.
Well, that's what I'm telling you, is that you need a big fucking heel like Roddy Piper to set the whole fucking thing in motion.
Yeah.
But Hulk Hogan and the one-man gang sold out on the loop.
That's true. That's true.
Okay,
well, that's
why I'm telling
say.
You, long term, the baby face makes more. That's a better draw
that's
is a
true.
Baby face.
And,
you
and,
need that heel to set the bar and more, to set Hulkamania up, to set Austin 316 rolling.
Well,
once the fucking train is rolling, you just start spitting heel after heel after heel after these guys, and the money will just keep coming in. Bruno Sammartino, Bob Backlund, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, The Rock. It just, that's what happens.
And obviously they sell more merchandise too, and that type of thing.
Yeah.
That's big. They sell, there's bigger, not, and I don't just mean t-shirts, I also mean things like videotapes in the era, DVDs nowadays.
Give me a heel that has drawn a hell of a lot, drawn a lot of money.
Sold out every night. Woo!
Yeah.
But no, that's true though. I mean, you had Hulk Hogan, who was a babyface, and that company was number one and doing much bigger business than the other company, which had a long-term heel in Ric Flair as their champion.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's really – I mean, yeah, I mean, a great heel can draw, but I think a great heel draws for about a year, and then people are sick and tired of seeing him win. They want him out of there.
Well, the great heel
– because the point is you want that payoff. And whereas a great babyface can be a champion for a long time and keep on knocking down new built-up heels.
And if you don't get that – if you don't get that payoff, you start to lose interest.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the thing. A babyface, if babyfaces lose to a heel, all of a sudden they become, you don't take them seriously that they ever can win. Whereas if heels lose to a babyface, that's okay because they're heels.
What the blow-off? I mean, we talked about the Extreme Rules pay-per-view before it started. You know, who should win this, Cody Rhodes or Ray?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if this blow-off, then Ray can win, and it's the baby face going over, and you know, if the feud isn't continuing, then Ray can win and it'll be fine. If the feud continues, then it's okay for Cody to win. Like Mania, Cody won, but here we are at Extreme Rules.
Because
continuing.
Extreme Rules should blow off Mania. Wait.
Yeah, oh, well, right. Yeah.
Yeah
no.
But,
that's. But this is the thing.
You
know
what
I'm
saying? No. I mean, I agree with you. I think both of us are saying kind of the same thing in that we don't want to dilute the importance of a heel.
Right.
But the baby face is a great baby face will always be the biggest drawing thing.
That's right. Yes. But again,
if you're a company that doesn't have that great baby face, put a heel on top and let him keep winning until that baby face, let him keep winning as a heel for a long, long time until that baby face emerges, which is something TNA could do. They could have or could have done. Put a heel on top and have him keep winning as a heel
for
long, because the business is down anyways, until you get that guy who's
that
the right guy.
That would have been great. You know, yeah, that would have been great. And keep a heel there. Just keep having a heel on top. Never get rid of that heel. Just have him keep winning, keep winning, keep winning. Maybe if he could maybe break some guitars over people's heads. That would just be box office.
Well, okay. Maybe if it's not the wrong – it doesn't help if it's the wrong heel. You can't bring just any asshole off the street.
No.
But, I mean, if you
he's
had –
he's a baby face, though, isn't
but
he?
If you – I don't know. Samoa Joe in the air would have been the right guy, right?
Well, yes.
So,
yes, that's very true.
Okay. So, all right. Let's move on. Do you want the next subject? Me, you?
Go ahead. Go
here?
Go right ahead.
Okay,
yeah,
let's talk about – we're talking about heels and faces. I want to talk about
your
what mom? Do you think were the best heel or face turns that freshened up a character, meant the most?
Oh, wow.
You know, for business or just the character, whatever.
Well,
what revitalized the character?
Obviously, probably for both revitalizing the character and for business, when we talk heel turns, it's Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, Hulk Hogan with you're right,
with the NWO.
NWO.
And turning heel, that was just – the time was there. They flirted with it a little bit, about 6 months earlier in the fall of 1995 when he was doing some really – weird shit.
Yeah, that's when he first started dressing in black.
Black and,
such, and
doing some really, fucked up stuff.
Yep.
And then getting anal raped by the Yeti. But then they moved on, and again, the New World Order, business took off. The only time WCW was number one, Hogan revitalized his career. So that, to me, heel turn,
Yeah, no, that's the best one ever. I'd have to agree. I mean, something like The Rock something like The Rock or Steve Austin, when you turn babyface from a heel, it was kind of that the crowd turned them. It wasn't so much – I mean, yeah, it was good for business, but it didn't really revitalize the character. The characters didn't largely change, whereas what happened with Hulk Hogan was it changed completely.
Yeah,
then when you got –
And sometimes that doesn't work. I mean, they completely changed the Stone Cold character when they turned him heel at WrestleMania 17,
right.
And that was the wrong move. And they tried to turn Sting. They tried to turn
Goldberg.
Well, neither one of them fails.
I mean,
but it was the right time and the right character. I liked Hogan's heel character, and it was a chicken shit heel character,
mm-hmm.
and an arrogant chicken shit heel character, and it completely played off the guy he was, and so it worked, right? But there's been other good ones.
I mean,
when
you talk about Sting and Goldberg, I mean, they didn't want to turn heel, and that was probably the WCW, I don't want, you can't make me, so they didn't.
But it also wasn't the right thing for business.
Austin embraced the heel turn, but it still didn't work.
Because it wasn't the right thing for business.
Because it wasn't the right thing for business, exactly.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Hogan's was the right thing for business. We talked about
when The Rock came back after he did his first movie there, and the crowd were hurting on him, that was the right thing for business. Okay. But he was so entertaining that it didn't last long.
And he didn't stay really long either, but that was when he was doing stuff with the Hurricane.
But the crowd wanted to boo him at the time.
Yeah,
because they thought he had sold out and left them.
Because
abandoned them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, and Honky Tonk Man was one of my favorites ever.
Yes, you know? That was one of the poll. Talk about the poll.
Yeah.
Talk about the poll, I said.
You talk about the poll.
No, I was telling you.
No, you. What the hell? I don't remember what you're talking about. The poll. Oh, the poll. I'm thinking, fuck. I'm thinking, you have me thinking about Vince Russo. I'm like, Vince Russo did
don't
not book the
no
Honky Tonk. What was that?
Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. T, but yeah, you're talking about that's right. He came out. Honky Tonk Man came out originally and was a babyface character. He came out on I believe it was Morocco had a show at the time, kind of like Piper's Pit.
Yeah.
And he came out there and talked about how you know his good friend Hulk Hogan had brought him in, and he was trying to get himself a babyface rub. He was always a heel character in the territories. He was Stampede Wrestling, the North American champion, right beforehand here and locally in Calgary. Great heel character. They brought him in, thought he could be a babyface, and the crowd did not take to him as a babyface, so they started a poll, and I was never sure if this was a work poll or not, but basically, I don't think it was.
I don't think it mattered.
Yeah, but basically, the poll was, do you like me or not, basically, and came across very strongly, like 97%. They hated the motherfucker.
Yeah.
And Jesse Ventura telling him that turned the character, and it took a character who was not at all getting a crowd reaction into one of the hottest heels they had in 1987, basically. Yeah. So,
thinking about good heel and face turns, there've been, when we talk about the Macho Man turning heel with the mega powers exploding, Bret Hart going.
Bret Hart turning heel was one of the real good ones.
Mm-hmm. And that one was.
It really revitalized the character again.
Well, it did, but it was such a slow build. After WrestleMania 13, so 1997, we'll say April 1997, when they had, the double turn where Austin left as the face and Hart as the heel. He came out and he bashed the United States of America, which made him a heel there and a baby face everywhere else. But
he was pure heel in his actions and in attacking people from behind.
And the Hart Foundation, the gang mentality. Yeah. But leading up to that, in the February leading to Mania, they had the cage match for the world title, Bret and Taker on Raw, and he got screwed. And he was getting frustrated. And he slammed Vince McMahon down.
Was that Sid who screwed him that night? Actually.
Sid and Austin.
Yeah, where he lost the title. That's where he held it for one day.
Well, and that's when he was swearing, frustrated isn't the goddamn word for it. This is bullshit. Everyone in this goddamn dressing room knows I'm the best there is.
They were dropping S-bombs on
Raw
for the first time.
Yeah, and they weren't bleeping them because they didn't know they were coming.
Well, that they knew it was coming, but no, it was set up. They told Bret to do it.
Oh, yeah. They knew it was coming, but the USA Network and TSN didn't know it was coming.
Yeah.
So that's
Vince Russo.
Yeah.
But I mean, even before that, the way he lost the title to Sean.
And then
he came back, and the character was a little different right away. He quit. He said, you don't respect me, I quit. Early on, way before he turned heel. But that was kind of laying the first.
The Royal Rumble, didn't
it? It's kind of laying
Screwed. But again, he got screwed out of the Royal Rumble. It's kind of ironic that his angle was that
he
was getting screwed.
He got screwed against, after coming back and faced Sid, his second pay-per-view match after facing Austin at Survivor Series in a hell of a match, he faced Sid. Everybody assumed he was winning the title. He didn't. And it was making sense though. It was building his frustration.
Well, that was it. It built frustration. Finally, had a reason to snap. And it was a great laid out story, and the execution was great. I just again, it's ironic that the whole gimmick was that he was getting screwed. Yeah. But I'm just trying to think of Are there any other babyface or heels? What about back in the day? What about back in the 80s? I'm just trying to think. Like, Jake the Snake went back and forth a few times.
Yeah.
I remember
when
Undertaker turned babyface.
That was a big one. The first time Undertaker actually turned babyface with Jake Roberts in that angle. Yeah. Why don't you go over that one?
Well, that was it. Right after it was a Tuesday in Texas pay-per-view, and it was Macho Man Savage against Jake, and Jake was just being such a great heel at this point. Just shoving Miss Elizabeth, putting his hand, slapped her, I think, you know, and just the promos, you know, that he'd say, you know, yeah, I slapped her. I'd slap her again. I'd slap you, Gene Okerlund, if I thought I could get what I wanted.
Yep.
You know, and just, I, you know what, and if I slap her around enough, maybe I'll turn her into something that even I would like.
Yeah.
You know, I just remember the stuff like, and Gene going, no, please, and... You know, but the match was over. Macho Man, of course, victorious. We just had the baby face victorious at the blow the feud off. And Jake is there with a steel chair about to whack Elizabeth or Randy, whoever first comes through the thing
there.
He
didn't give a shit.
And it was going to be Elizabeth. Yeah. And then you know, this is, of course, the pay-per-view's off the air is the gimmick, right? Because then this was part of the special report with whoever, Mean Gene. And... So then they go, and Vince is yelling in the camera, somebody stop them. Oh, my God, somebody get word to them and all this. And they come out, and Jake reels back to with the chair, and Undertaker's there, grabs the chair, and stops him from doing that. And so then Jake confronts him on the funeral parlor and says, okay, whose side are you on? And
I just want to jump in a little bit here, because I think Undertaker being there, what, about 6 or 8 months at the time?
2 years.
Had he been there that long?
Maybe a year at this point, because he would have debuted at the Survivor Series prior. Survivor Series prior, so a year.
Okay, so he'd been there for 1 year, but he had actually been getting, I understand, a babyface reaction at the because he was a kid's character largely, and had already kind of been getting a babyface reaction leading into that. So the crowd did want him to turn. But, please go on to the funeral parlor, because this was cool.
Well, then he's just, you know, then he confronts him, and he says, you know, the big line there is, you know, whose side are you on, man? And Undertaker really never talked before. Mm-hmm. Paul Bearer was there to do the talking for him. So they want to put the microphone up to the Undertaker, and he just goes, not yours.
Yeah.
And then Jake goes, okay, and he goes to walk away, and Undertaker goes, what? But then he grabs Undertaker's hand and slams it in the casket and seals it shut and starts beating on him and beating on him and beating on him. And Undertaker keeps getting up and getting up and getting up and is actually dragging
the
casket.
Well, that's the thing is that his hand was stuck in the casket with the gimmick. He couldn't lift it, and every time he was about to stand up, he'd get hit with this chair hard across the back, fall down, and you're thinking he's dead. He's not getting up.
Yeah, that's right.
And then he'd start to get up, and Jake had this look like, what is it? I hit him as hard as I can with the chair, and he still keeps moving.
Yeah.
And that was selling the supernatural, unbeatable gimmick.
Yes.
And pulling this casket as he's getting the hell beat out of him, completely defensive, but not stopping like a zombie.
Yeah.
And it was really got that gimmick across to me, probably better than they ever had.
What about
either?
Thinking about '80s turns, you know, you talk about Undertaker's babyface, right? I guess it was a '90s turn.
Yeah.
But one of the turns in the '80s. Heel turns. It was really good for business for a run. It was a couple of them. But the Benedict Arnold of the World Wrestling Federation, Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff.
Ah, yes.
And Hulk Hogan being, you know, just like brothers, dude. And, you know, and tag team.
Coming out of Mania 1 where Orndorff was the one pinned in the tag match.
Yeah.
Randy Orton's father, what's his name? Bob Armstrong.
Ace Cowboy, Bob Orton.
Because
Randy Orton's dad is,
Randy
Armstrong.
Yeah, my mistake. So Bob Orton,
you didn't know?
He comes across off the top with the cast, and he gets pinned, and Piper blames him, and that turns him babyface.
Yeah.
And he and Hulk are best friends for a while, and then...
Well, then they turn...
jealousy, basically. Similar to...
What it was is...
to a Savage.
Well, they would do a series of interviews, you know, and they'd be teaming, and they would do the Saturday night's main events against Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy, and, you know, and things like that, where it was always... And they both... Real American. They both used the Real American theme music. Came out, and then I remember there was the one show... And and Orndorff's all like, "Where is Hulk, man? I've been trying to call him. He's not returning my calls. I don't know where he is. We got this big match, and I just, you know, can't seem to find him. Oh, jeez, I just don't know. And it's basically, it's Hogan's really busy doing all the Tonight shows and the
yeah.
you know and the movies and the you know the commercials and everything. The Honey Nut Cheerios commercial I remember was around yep. that time. Yep. And you know, and so Orndorff said, "Fuck Russo."
Yeah, exactly. Then what was it? You had who came out next? Was it
Hunter?
Hunter, that's right.
Heath Slater didn't come out again, did he?
Well, probably he's probably out there again.
I think he's probably doing it right now. They're going through it.
Yeah, well, he's fucking money.
Yeah, he is fucking money.
Nobody can doubt that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
maybe
what
he's
going to
steal Ted DiBiase's music, eh? I'm fucking money. I'm fucking class.
Yes, yes.
I'll rape that woman. Choke right. her out her ass. I don't know.
No, yeah, right. I'll rape that woman and fuck her in the ass.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I just brought a little class to this show.
We totally did.
Here. Who wants? Somebody wants to say hello. Something.
Hello, Maul.
Who's that?
It's Maul. Is this Maul? I'm talking about you. You keep calling me. I don't know. I heard you got T on the phone. They need to keep calling
is
me, Maul.
Is it Hot Rod?
Of course, it's Hot Rod.
Oh, you want to talk to
Maul?
Mr.
You got my Hot Rod. I heard you got Mr. T on the line. Mr. T, he's come down. It's Mr. T. Mr. T, come down. He's in studio. You
say
talk about why is Roddy Piper not in studio? Why is RP not in studio? T. You want me to call you Mr. You ripping me T? I will give you some back talk. What we're doing, what we're talking about, what we're doing here is we're talking about Mr. T. We're talking about Roddy Piper. We're talking about going in WrestleMania. And WrestleMania was the greatest one thinking of all time. We're talking about WrestleMania 2. WrestleMania 2, I boxed you out. But you boxed me. And we were going to have you, and you were going to outbox me. I will pity the fool. I will pity every fool that's going to be Miss T. And Miss T, you're not a wrestler. Do you have any questions for me, Mo? Mo,
yeah, what
do you
about
have
Mr. T's hair?
Man, he's got a mohawk. I don't have a mohawk. No one's got a mohawk. Well, anybody that has any sense of anything does not have a mohawk, Mo. Do you have a mohawk, Mo?
No, of course not.
He does not have a mohawk. Mo does not have a mohawk because he has a sense of sensibility for not having a mohawk.
I do have one on my balls.
You have a mohawk on your balls. Nobody needs to know about the mohawk on your balls. The mohawk on your balls gets laid. Everybody doesn't.
No, okay, well, let's talk about Mr. T. There was worry that he wasn't going to show up or wasn't going to do business. And
nobody thought he was going to do business. Everybody thought he wasn't going to do business. He was on Saturday Night Live. It was with Billy Crystal. He thought he was a big star. He's not a big star. Everybody thought knew that Mohawk. Everybody knew that Roddy Piper was the big star. Everybody knew that we were going to do it and we were going to do business. And we did business. And everybody knew that Mr. T, if he didn't show up, I was going to go there. I was going to go to Gold's Gym. I was going to rip him my new one. And he knew what was going on.
Okay, and then you were with TNA for a short time before heading back into TNA. What was that like?
If I could be honest with you, talk about TNA. I went to TNA. I have Johnny Fairplay. He drew me to TNA, and I asked Vince Russo. I came out. I said, "This is where it stopped." Because everybody knew it was going to stop. Everybody thought it was going to stop. Nobody thought it was going to stop. It just had to stop. And everybody thought it was going to do. And I had my frat brothers, brother. I had my frat brothers. And they all, I had my shirt. And nobody knew. And I did my frat brother. And everybody thought it was going to happen. And nobody thought it was going to happen.
I have no idea what you just said. But that's a normal Mr. T or Roddy Piper interview.
Mo, I just knew that was going to happen. We had our buddy. We had our gin dragon. We knew it was going to happen. And it just didn't happen.
Oh, any last things you want to say before we get off the phone?
Mo, I just want to say, T, are you calling me, Mr. You ripping me, T? We just know that you are not what it's going to be, and I just know that Roddy Piper is what it is.
Excellent. Thank you, Roddy.
Roddy Piper. Oh, my
awesome.
God. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Good get.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. T has hung up after that. I guess left the studio. He didn't hung up. He was in here, but he walked out the front door.
Kind of ran. Well, he went through the doggy door, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, he's lost a lot of weight. He had cancer, much like Roddy
like
Piper.
4'2".
Yeah, that's true.
Anyway.
That doesn't help. Two last topics.
What
first
helps
off,
him go through the doggy door?
A couple of more serious topics, and then we'll end with our regular segment on Hulk Hogan.
Okay.
Devin Hannibal Nicholson. he was an independent Canadian wrestler.
He was.
He is has HIV, HIV positive.
Hep C.
Sorry, Hep C. He is suing.
He's contracted, allegedly.
Yes.
Hep C from Abdul the Butcher.
Be-
certainly use
that,
Kurt Angle.
Or another guest that we should get to?
Certainly use Kurt Angle. Well, yeah, I can give him a call right now here.
Awesome.
If you want, because this is someone that you had hooked up with after you'd talked with Ryan Seacrest. I think you got this guy's number, but let me just put this in. Hello. Are you there?
Yes. This is George Takei.
Mr. Takei, how are you?
Good. I got your number from Ryan Seacrest.
Yes, yes.
When we were having supper last night.
Having supper, right, yes, because Ryan had texted Mo and said that you were also a wrestling fan, that you guys had talked about that.
I was originally cast to do the part of Mr. Fuji by Pat Patterson back when we were fucking.
Okay, so you know Pat Patterson. That's news. You were going to be Mr. Fuji originally.
Yes.
Wow, that's, and so what happened?
Well, I forgot to bring my knee pads. And I did not get the push.
Okay, so yeah, that's a mistake. You got to bring your gear.
But I've still been they've told me that a pro always brings his gear.
Yeah.
But then I had the parts in Star Trek, and that was, as well, an excellent role for me.
Yes, no, that was good.
But
was,
I would have been very anxious to work with all those muscled-up young men in their fantastic oiled bodies and their musculature.
Well, did you, so that being said, were you always a fan of wrestling?
Yes. In fact, me and my boyfriend, Brad, who's now my husband, and that's why my name is no longer George Takei, it's now George Takei, because Takei was my straight name, and Takei is now my homosexual name.
Okay.
And Brad and I, we wrestle each other every Sunday.
Okay, well, who?
But I get my wrestling moves from watching many people like Goldust and Lodi and Lenny Lane.
Oh, right, yeah, Lenny Lane and Lodi.
Yes.
Okay, so then those were your favorites.
Well,
then.
No, my favorite is a young man with quite the musculature.
Okay.
Meat. Tremendous musculature. Not energetic, obviously, in the ring.
No, because that was his gimmick, was he would go back and have sex with the women before his match. He was having sex with women.
Of course, you think I'm an idiot?
No. Well,
I knew that.
Of course. Well, no, idiot
was know that.
I'm actually, Mr. Takei, just putting that out for our listeners that may be new and not didn't know of meat because he didn't have a big a long role. But I'd like to thank you very much for coming on the show. And
it is my pleasure.
And and if you'd like to come on, we'd love to.
Fuck it.
Let's get him on the line.
We're talking about him for a while. He's a big fan of Addy. I'm gonna put him. Michael Hayes. You don't get to talk. You can talk after he's done.
Okay, let him just say he's got something to say.
You want to talk? It's Dennis Leary. What do you want to say about Dennis Leary?
Well, Dennis Leary is a comedian.
I know.
Okay. Fuck it. Anyway, all right, so let's do this. We've been waiting for a while. Dennis Leary on the line. Dennis Leary, are you there? Well, no, Michael, shut up. Dennis Leary,
Dennis,
are you
Dennis,
there?
Dennis, get on. Dennis Leary,
how you doing?
Rest
thank
me.
You. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And fuck you.
What?
There's a guy. I don't know if you guys have heard about this. This is a guy. He's English. Not that we should hold that against him, but apparently this is his life's dream because he is going country to country. He had a pay-per-view match in this country a couple weeks ago, and this is what he wants to do. He wants to work for TNA Wrestling.
The problem is nobody knows who he is. Like, all of a sudden he's going to walk into the ring and people are going to go, holy shit, that's Mark Haskins. I heard he's really good. Yeah, I heard he can do moonsaults and stuff. You fucking dolt. Like, all of a sudden he's going to come in there and people are just going to be like, oh, Mark Haskins, Mark Haskins. No, fuck you. You don't know who you are. Andre the Giant's not dead. He's frozen. As soon as we find a cure for what does he have?
I don't know. Something giantism?
Giantism. We're going to thaw it under a giant, and he's going to be pretty pissed off. You know why? If you're ever taking a cold shower, multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off Andre the Giant's going to be. I'm going to get Andre the Giant. I'm going to get Big John Studd. I'm going to get Heat Sox Calhoun and a case of whiskey and drive down to Texas, and we are going to find Bruiser Brody, who's also frozen, thaw him out, and we're going to have a hell of a stable. Now, we talk about Johnny Valentine. You talk about Johnny Valentine the other day. Johnny Valentine's paralyzed, and we can't get Vince Russo in an airplane, folks. Come on now. Come on now.
Thank you. Dennis, anything else? Big Russell?
You know, you're a wrestling fan. I love wrestling. You know, but, you know, you ever notice that every time a wrestler dies, it's always some really talented guy. It's always like Chris Benoit or Eddie Guerrero or Macho Man Randy. So, you know what I mean?
You know,
the people you want to overdose never do. You know? Like, Jeff Hardy will never fucking overdose, man, never. Okay? You could put him in a room with 2 tons of crack. He'd come out half hour later going, imagination. Oh, shit, he's still alive. Fuck.
Yeah.
He's probably going to have another world title run now. God damn it!
Same could be said about Matt.
Matt, oh, God. Well, he loves grapes, and I love grapes. The thing is, you know what? We've got a new thing. I've been working on this with Brian Gewirtz. It's called Shut the Fuck Up by Dr. Dennis Leary, a new revolutionary, new form of self-help therapy. Anytime he's in a writer's meeting and he goes up to Vince and he goes, Vince and I got an idea, I just smack him and go, shut the fuck up, Brian, next. But Vince, I got to shut the fuck up, Brian, next. I don't know. He made me feel so much better about myself. He just told me to shut the fuck up. And no one's ever told me about it before. I feel so much better, and the ratings are at 4s. Yeah, well, it's just what happens, isn't it? Isn't it, Dennis? Yes, it's just what happens. You know what? You know what I love about this? I love everything about wrestling. I love you people. I fucking hate, though, Vince fucking Russo. Vince fucking Russo, you know what? He fucking just is so fucking stupid. He fucking can't even stand. I was talking to my friend Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, he told me to come on the show. He told me to say, fuck Russo. Fuck Russo!
2 hours and 5 minutes in, all talking bullshit, do we want to talk about that last subject that I want to talk about, the new ratings, regarding the ratings?
Let's talk about the ratings. You know, in for a penny, in for a pound, guys. Thanks for sticking with us for 2 hours. We're just going to do a little bit more here, talk about the ratings, and then do the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week, and we promise we will then wrap it up.
Yeah, O-U-T after that. So, but we will have a few plugs. Then we'll wrap it up.
Well, your mom's around.
Yeah, that's right. Is she?
She is. She's very round.
I'd like breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, she's had it.
Yeah. Okay.
let's talk about the
ratings. The last week came in at 3.2.
Let us talk about the ratings.
Last week came in at a 3.2, and generally everyone's going, you know what, this Punk thing didn't take off to the level we thought it did.
Vince
McMahon, you know, is firing, and Hunter didn't take off to the level. They were hoping for a 3.4, 3.5. I said to you, I thought they were going to do a 3.4, 3.5.
Mm-hmm.
I've kind of gone back and looked at this, and they did do a 3.4, 3.5, in my opinion. And what I mean from that is this. I watched SmackDown, Raw, and Impact this week. I turned on my TV this entire week for 1 hour. That hour I spent playing Halo. I did not watch a single hour of TV this week. I didn't watch a single hour of TV this week.
Oh, so you're talking about alternate
forms. That's it. I watched on YouTube. There are YouTube. There is downloads of shows. There's so many. And
where do you watch it on YouTube, though, right?
I
know where you're going with that, but I just want to play a little bit of a devil's advocate on that. Is part of the reason that they look at the ratings, okay, and part of it is to judge whether something's good, bad, successful, and different when they look at the minute by minutes and all that such. But from an overall number, now we talk about that they did do it was 3.0 and 3.4 with the 2 hours, so they grew to get a 3.2. But the fact to me is that's what USA Network is paying WWE for. Right, and so
that when I look at from, gee, you think I work at a bank? But the fact is that if they get a 2-5, and the other 1.0 worth of people is watching it on YouTube, then WWE is going to get paid for a 2-5.
Okay, well,
right?
I'm not disagreeing with what you're saying, but what I am saying...
I understand your point, though.
Yeah, is that there was a recent poll showing that teenagers between the ages of 14 and 17... I had your mom on my poll last night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Teenagers between the ages of 14 and 17 in the early 90s were watching an average of 30... We're watching an average of 30 hours of television a week. They're now watching an average of 10 hours of television a week and spending about 20 hours of television or 20 hours a week on the computer. That's on Facebook, but it's also on things like YouTube and torrents watching. They're watching essentially the same amount of content. They're just watching it in different methods. And this has even happened to me. A year ago, I was watching about 5 to 8 hours of TV a week. Now I'm watching less than one. And this is, 6 months ago my change. Like, the change has been very dramatic, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So quickly that I don't think the companies have realized how quickly it's changed. So even if you're saying they're getting stuck and they're going to get paid for a 2.5, that's what they're doing, the fact is that it has changed. The medium has changed. The distribution of the content has changed. And whether you accept it or you don't accept it, that's the future.
Well,
and that's a fact.
I'm not looking to accept it or not accept it. I'm looking to quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so it's very difficult right now to be able to. I mean, you went on 15 different sites and saw that people had really downloaded Destination X off
YouTube
the torrents
and
shit, right?
Yeah,
but
and tube sites as well.
But for Destination X, you went to 15 different sites. Well, how many sites are out there? Probably thousands, 100,000.
Yeah.
Who knows, right?
Yeah.
And so to be able for WWE to quantify who's watching their program and when they're watching. And you even talk about the DVRs now. I don't watch anything live, really, anymore. Everything's DVR.
Yeah,
that
way you can watch Raw in an hour.
Well, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
And you know, here's the women's match.
My partner in our new show that should be dropping Tuesday here, We Talk Comics, my partner Brett was watching the CFL game, he was watching it. He said, he's like, I'm fast. I'm like, what are you doing right now when we start the show? He's like, I'm just fast-forwarding through the game. I'm like, well, what's the score? He's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, why didn't you watch it live? Because I don't watch anything live anymore.
Yeah.
I don't watch anything live anymore with his words. I like to fast-forward through everything.
He's your partner.
My co-host.
Oh, your co-host. Okay.
This is the man who offered to suck dick during Impact.
Yeah, well.
Speaking of which.
That doesn't make me gay. That makes me smart.
That's true. Speaking of which, I'll be over
look
Thursday.
Look in my eyes. What do you see?
Speaking of which, I'll be over Thursday.
A cunt of personality. But.
Anyway,
right?
No,
yeah.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Well, yeah, we do the show on Sunday, so I should be able to find it by then.
It doesn't matter, though. I mean, my point is it doesn't matter what they're thinking or how they're trying to judge it or what they're doing. The end of the day, the change has already occurred, and the change has occurred over – I'd say that a 3.2 today was a 3.4 2 years ago.
Well,
3.6,
oh, no.
5 years
hey,
ago.
Hey, though. Let's just calm down with that because you're talking about – let's not look at a 3.2. Let's wipe that slate clean, okay? Let's talk about number of viewers.
Okay.
Because that's what I'd be interested in. That, then you can compare apples to apples. Because when you say 3.2 today equals a what because of the computer, well, how many more fucking channels are out there? And that's 3.2% of the population happens to be watching that channel at any particular time. And if there's a million more channels out there to watch, that's going to play into the percentage as well. So you can take the TV, but that's not the only factor is all I'm saying. So if you talk about millions of viewers, if you say 5 million viewers are watching Raw, then okay, that's fine. Because 5 million viewers watching Raw could be a 2.9, could be a 3.3, depending on how many people are actually watching television at that given time, right?
True,
so
that's true.
All I really care about is how many people are watching. And as you said, I agree with you that there's all these sites for after the fact. It's just my problem with that is being able to quantify that, which is where I guess the thing you can't really quantify.
But that's my point, is you can't.
And, okay, my bigger problem, I guess, I have with that is that if you're willing to go on to a torrent site and watch Raw, you're probably willing to go on the torrent site and download the pay-per-view as well.
Possibly, yeah.
Well, I would say that'd be pretty likely.
Yeah.
That would be pretty likely.
Absolutely.
Okay. And
but I'm
Vince McMahon. I'm Vince McMahon, though. I don't want that customer.
Yeah, I don't think. I think you have to look at the tube sites more than the torrent sites when it comes
fine.
It comes to Raw.
That's fine.
Okay, but you have to look at that. I'm not advocating the torrent sites for the stealing of pay per views.
Only for TNA.
I'm not advocating avoiding that completely.
I am for. I'm advocating it for TNA. If you care enough about TNA, then download
enough.
It illegally.
If you care enough, I don't want you as a customer.
Download it illegally.
Yeah. But no, that's the thing. It doesn't. But the point is, it doesn't matter. You say you don't want them as a customer. The point is, is that if you're trying to see how popular the product is, and you're just sitting
no,
there.
No, wait.
Let me finish the sentence. If you're trying to say how popular the product is, and your other radio show hosts and other wrestling websites, and you're saying it's a disappointing, it's not getting over to the same level as it once was.
I hear you.
You're missing the point. It might be getting over to another level. You won't know because you can't judge it the same way you judged it 2 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. It'll come through in other mediums. And until everyone starts to understand the change in technology and the distribution of entertainment and media, then you won't be able
it's
to understand
factor.
How a product is doing.
It's
now, I'm not
it,
saying that's
it,
good or bad. I'm just saying
factor.
That is.
It's a factor. Now, what I'm saying, though, when I say I don't want them as a customer, I don't want them as a customer.
I disagree with that as well because you never know. If somebody feels like, I'm not going to pay, God damn it, they've been putting on good stuff for 3 or 4 months in a row, I'm going to start paying. I feel like I owe them. That happens as well.
Not enough.
I don't know about that. And you can't fight it anyways. You can't.
No, I'm not trying to fight it. All I'm saying is that you to me, okay, so what did you think of the last pay-per-view? How did you watch it? I downloaded it. I don't care what you think.
Yeah.
I don't. If you're the guy that downloads only, I don't care what you think because I'm never going to make a dime off of you.
Not necessarily.
And
I disagree with that. I believe people. It's the same idea as how people
are paying. Guess what? What's the percentage of that though? What are the percentage of people? I'm just saying that someone that is going to be finding this for free and is always like to find this for free and can do it and find it for free.
Some of them always will.
Exactly.
Yeah,
most of them.
Austin Aries is right.
Most of them. Exactly. Most of them always will. So.
But I'm not talking about pay-per-views.
Well, no, I know you're not. I am, though. I'm saying that the person that is watching the Raw on the torrent.
That's a different subject.
It's not,
reading.
Though. It's not. That's what
it
I'm
is.
Saying is that it's correlating because the person that's watching the show on the torrent site is also the guy that's going to go to that torrent site and download the show for free.
Here's the problem with that. Number one, torrents are big, but they're not as big as tube sites, and they won't be going forward. Okay? Tube sites means you don't have to download a goddamn thing.
Right.
Number two, people don't feel that going on YouTube and watching a product like Monday Night Raw is wrong. You don't find Money in the Bank on YouTube right now.
Probably not.
You won't.
You might.
There's a difference.
It'd be hard.
There's a difference in the way that the product is distributed.
Well, you're right.
Free television and the acceptance of companies and the
real. Well, I'm just telling you. I'm not pandering to the people that are watching it for free and not putting any dime in my pocket. I'm leaving them those people.
Well, you
alone.
Know what? That's all those people. That's the 1.5 million who are watching Impact and the 8,000 who are paying. That you don't care about 99.99%. of your fucking audience.
Yeah. Well, I don't care about anybody that lives.
If you look at
always
the 5 million people who are buying, but 200,000 bought this pay per view, then you don't care about 99.9% of your audience if you're WWE. That doesn't
What I'm saying though is that the people that I'm not saying the people that aren't buying the pay per view. I'm talking about the people that are buying, that are always going to be getting the pay per view illegally
out there.
And not putting any money in
those
my pocket.
Those people have always existed. Those people existed in scrambled television and
other
ways.
I'm just telling you that I don't key in on those people.
I'm telling you that when people sit there, other sites, and sit there going, this angle isn't getting over to the same degree, they're not judging it in the modern era. That's my only point.
Well,
that whole other thing is another argument we could have for another day. This is my point, though.
Okay, well, but that.
In fact, we just had the argument now, so
I'm just talking about we talked about capital punishment.
Yes.
We talked about Extreme Rules.
Yes.
We talked about how Extreme Rules got 65,000 buys, and how it was really the product was really shit, pretty much at that point, right?
Mm-hmm.
And talking about how
they dropped the ball coming out.
This was all, and we talked about ratings. We've had this talk. So where did this come from all of a sudden? Where now there's tube sites. Where we've had this same argument about how the ratings have gone to pre-mania, ratings have gone down to pre-mania levels and blah. So
if you go back to the beginning of the argument, I said to you, I thought this show was going to do a 3-4, 3-5, and then the show didn't. And then I realized I'm sitting there watching SmackDown on my computer, going, I think that my perception of how I watch media. 1 year ago is different than it is today.
And I understand that. I agree with you.
And that change has occurred. Judging these things, we have to start looking at it from a different
perspective. I'm just saying, I don't know how many people did what you did. That's, I guess, what I'm saying.
I think that's my point. Is that especially in the younger, in the teenagers, the early people in their early 20s, the way that they're watching their...
people
in their early 20s, whatever, fuck you. Those people who are on tablets, or on iPads, iPhones, smartphones...
How many tablets did you take?
You know what? I shouldn't have taken that second one.
No, I know.
But those people and the way that they're watching television is different than it once was. So I'm just saying, people need to stop sitting there and judging it, even the way they did 1 year ago, or the way they should 1 year from now. You have to be aware of the change in the mentality, especially among the younger people, and where they're getting their entertainment from. Doesn't mean they're not watching television. It means they're not watching television the conventional ways that we used to judge.
Well, and that, as I said, that could be very... Well, true, but I'm saying if I'm a businessman, okay, if I'm a businessman, until you can quantify that to me, I'm not skeptical. I understand what you're saying and I agree with you there, but until you can quantify that to me, I can't do anything with that.
Okay, I'll say this to you. The point is not whether or not somebody can quantify that to you. The point is that is changing, and you need to be on the cutting edge and learning about it instead of ignoring it or not understanding
it.
Because it is inevitable.
But I'll tell you right now is what is inevitable. Let's look at it. I mean, the fact is that when you talk about being on the cutting edge of everything and television, when did television come out? It's fine. But when did the Dumont Network come out? The 40s, right?
Late 40s.
Television's kind of been around, evolved, and then there's HD, and there's color, and there's, you know, all this other shit now, and the channels, and cable, and blah, blah, blah. 9 cable networks, for fuck's sake. I mean, there's all these things that have changed. But television is the medium, okay? And when I look at... how long has YouTube been around?
I've probably been going on about 5-6 years.
How do you illegally download music now?
For most people, there's so many different ways. It's direct downloads and torrents.
Mm-hmm, okay. But there was a time where Napster.
Yeah.
Was the cat's ass.
Okay.
And there was LimeWire, and there was all these other ones.
Now it's
FoxWire. And all that shit. Yeah. And they're all kind of passé now.
Yeah.
But and that was only 10 years ago, 15, not even 15 years ago,
yeah,
right?
Napster was in its height about 2000, 2001.
Okay, yeah, so 10 years ago. And but all I'm saying is when you talk about the cusp of things, those sorts of alternate internet media changes. And right now television is still at this point the tried and true way of being
for
able to...
For our generation, not for the generation below us. If you think it still is, you're mistaken.
No, it still is.
It is.
Well, fuck off.
It isn't.
You're an idiot.
It isn't.
Fuck you.
It isn't.
How many people, okay, how many people...
How many teenagers live in your household?
How many people watched Raw on Monday night?
3.2, I don't know what that
5
is.
5 million?
Yeah.
Okay. How many people downloaded it?
I
watched
no
it on
idea.
YouTube.
I have
oh, you
no
don't,
idea.
Do you? Oh, really? Okay, thank you. Case in point, done, closed case.
No,
let's go to the Hulk Hogan bullshit
how many
of the
witch. No, wait, no. How
how many of those people were people of our generation of that 5 billion? And how many of those people were watching next generation?
Look at the Nielsen.
Look at
the Nielsen.
Look at the Nielsen.
They'll tell
the
you.
The Nielsen say that it's 18 to 30 or 18 to 45 still watching Raw. Our generation.
Yeah.
The next generation doesn't view entertainment in the same way. They're not. It's being distributed in a different way.
I'm just telling you that the majority of the people.
And not only that, but
the majority of the people are.
You're going to talk about this and that. Keep in mind that when home video came about, the movie industry was in an uproar because they were certain this was going to put movie theaters out of business. It didn't. It was a boon for both the movies in the whole network and the theaters. Mm-hmm. Both were able to flourish.
All I'm telling you is that you're right. Is that you're right? That more people are watching it on the computer, and you're talking about people need to be on the cusp of something. And I'm telling you, until you're able to actually quantify it and put one specific thing out there, that nobody's going to get on board specifically with the computer being the next. Part to bring forth the new
and
media. People have been
not,
talking about watching TV on their computer. More people are doing it, and it's going to go that way, but it's going to go that way. Somehow it's going to bring the computer and the television are going to come together, brother, and it's going to do that.
When the paradigm shift in the public consciousness happens,
mm-hmm.
this will happen quickly, and it's occurring right now.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying to you.
I
you're
don't think
saying
it is.
You need to, it is.
And I don't think it is.
It is.
And I don't think it is.
Again, how many teenagers live in your household?
I don't harbor
how
any.
How can you? Yes, you don't harbor any.
Yes.
You don't have this conversation with them and this understanding of them and this change. You're not privy to seeing it.
Oh yeah, because how many conversations do you have teenagers with teenagers that you understand?
Good point. That I understand. There's never been one. But that's the thing is I'm not. You're saying you need to quantify it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying whether you quantify it or not, it's there. So you need to accept
yes.
it and learn
no,
to quantify.
No, but you need to accept.
You need to learn
no,
to
you
quantify.
Need to, you need to accept. You need to accept what the reality of corporate world is.
And they'll always be behind the curve because
yes.
they're afraid of change.
That's right, and that's
like
all
you
I'm
say,
saying.
They were afraid of home video.
That's all I'm saying.
They were afraid it was going to. I'm not disagreeing with you. I don't even know why we're fucking arguing because you're saying everything
I think
correct.
It's fun.
You're saying everything
of
correct.
Of course I am.
But
I'm
but
speaking.
Here's
right?
the thing. Everything you're saying is correct, but it doesn't mean what I'm saying is incorrect either.
Yeah, it does.
Oh, fuck. Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Thank you.
Then we're going
down. We just listened to the Morton Christensen bullshit of the week, so let's listen to the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week.
Lick me where I breathe.
We come more for impact.
All right.
Okay, it is now time. 2 hours and 25 minutes in for the Hulk Hogan bullshit. Kamala here.
Kamala!
Yo.
Awesome!
Mo!
I didn't know you spoke, Kamala. I never heard you say anything. What are you doing?
Yeah, I speak. I just think about my time in the former WWF.
Really?
Thinking about people with the steroids and the knee pads, yeah.
Why did people have knee pads? In the ring, you meant, when they threw a knee bra?
Pushing and pulling.
So, what was your favorite time? You look back. Is there anybody you really enjoyed working with?
I wrestled Hulk Hogan. I wrestled the Ultimate Warrior. So many times.
Oh yeah? Were they fun matches or?
They were fun matches, but they got to start thinking that wrestling was real.
Oh, it's not real to me.
Oh, yeah. No, not real. They believed their own hype, and they had their steroids, and they just didn't. They got paid more than I did.
Well, what happens when you take steroids?
Well, you kill yourself and other people, too.
Okay.
I may say too much.
You may say too much.
I better let you go, then.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right.
I had some shit I had to do on Thursday. I had to clip my toenails. I had to suck a guy's dick. I had a lot of better things to do than watch Impact.
Yeah. Wash your hair. You did, right?
Take care.
Yeah. Anyways, did you say you sucked a guy's dick?
Whoa. Thank you.
am I going to do the job to, but I have to brand myself. He went out, and he lost to Outlaw Ron Bass.
What the hell are you talking
about? He branded him.
He branded him.
With Betsy.
Oh, for... You know what? Mr. T, what do you think about that latest comment from Addy?
Quit your jibber-jabber.
That's what
Fuck
I think,
off,
too.
Mr. T.
Don't give me no back talk.
No, I will give you some back talk because I am going to call a friend of mine, a couple friends of mine, actually. They have a lot to say to you.
Don't make me mad.
You do that or you want to play a game?
Well, let's call the first guy here. Cause
all right, you do that. I got to go take a Russo.
Mr. T is really starting to get to me. Yeah, well, I'll pity you in a second. No, don't give me that shit.
Don't make me mad.
I will give you mad. Okay, Mo, you go and do the stuff. I am going to call, yes. No, I will call the star of Rocky III, Sylvester Stallone. Are you there?
Hey, Eddie, how you doing, eh?
I'm doing good. I'm here. Mo had to step up for a second. I'm sure he'll be back, but it's me, Mo, and it's Mr. T. Well,
hey, T, how you doing, eh?
First name, Mr. Middle name, period. Last name.
How you T, Mr. T, I was in the ring, and we were doing a match, you know, and he hit me, you know, he hit me really hard, you know, and I was like, hey, T, what the fuck was that, you know?
Don't make me mad.
Well, okay, well, you also worked with Thunderlips. The Ultimate Male, Hulk Hogan.
That was in a movie. It was a Rocky movie, and I hit Thun, and he gave me a suplex in the back. And, you know, he's a big guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hulk Hogan, his name,
don't
right?
Give me no back talk,
yeah, I know. He dropped me on my head, you know, and I was like, Hulk, you know. I said, what the fuck was that, you know, Hulk?
Well, the thing is, you had that match that really propelled Hulk Hogan to superstar. You inducted Hulk Hogan into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yo.
What was that like? What was your what were you thinking there?
It's hitting in the Hall of Fame. You know, and I was like, what the fuck is that? You know.
Well, you also know Terry Funk.
Terry, we did a movie called
a couple movies together.
Paradise Alley, you know.
Paradise Alley, and then
he played a wrestler, you know. What was the other movie we did?
Terry Funk did some choreography for Rocky V.
No shit, really?
You asked him back for Rocky V. Big drop toe hold there on top.
I remember that. And I did, and he shows me, you know, and drop toe hold. Terry Funk, and he said, drop toe. I said, what the fuck is that, you know?
All right, well, we gotta maybe let you go. I just want to talk about
Eddie!
Yo,
Eddie!
Yo, Rocky.
I did it, Eddie!
Okay.
I did it! We did it! Eddie! I love you, Eddie.
Okay, I'm uncomfortable now. We're gonna have to let you go.
Alright, bye.
Don't make me mad!
Okay, we'll let Mr. T go there, but, alright, well, that was Sylvester.
Ooh, I feel 7 pounds lighter.
Sylvester Stallone, did you have a Russo there?
I had a Russo. How'd they interview with, I wish I could have been here. I talk to Sly all the time.
Well, he just sounded, we talked about my brother earlier, but, I mean, it was one of those things
probably,
that,
he was being punched in the head a few times.
HGH,
that'll,
anyway, Mr. T has been nice enough just to sit here fuck off, Mr. T. He was sitting there nice, and I think that, honestly, I do think that Sylvester Stallone really kind of got his goat there, so and we may hear a little bit more from Mr. T, but anyway,
Mr. T,
please go to the next topic.
Okay, so why do you think up to this point they've had these two at the top of the card together here for the last 7-8 years or whatever and never done the match? Why do you think they haven't? Would you have?
I don't know. Well, again, it's something that...
They teased it once on a Raw in a dark match.
When they were doing the streak, because that was
shortly after Cena came over.
Going to be the plan at one point is to do. I think a couple times now it's going to be that's been sort of the penciled in plan. But I think when you're doing the streak, I mean, I don't know that anybody thinks that really that John Cena and Undertaker. I mean, it'd be a big match, no doubt. But I think circumstances really never came to be in that you had two Shawn Michaels in a row matches for Taker, which, you know, do you scrap one or both of those for a John Cena match? Hell no. And then you had Cena involved with the WWE Championship and The Rock there.
Nobody gave a shit about the WWE Championship and him involved.
No, but it had The Rock involved in doing that. You don't have The Rock involved. In order to set up WrestleMania 29...
Even previous, I mean, they've had 7 years to set this up.
I'm giving you three of them here. Okay. And then when you go back, I mean, the only time maybe that you would have...
They could have done it. Didn't have to be at a Mania. Could have been at a SummerSlam.
Well, I think that's a Mania, though. I think that's a streak versus Superman match, right?
Yeah.
Because that's where you get your most bang out of it, is that can John Cena end the streak, or can Undertaker survive this guy that runs through everybody,
okay,
the company
guy,
the top guy?
You're talking
guy.
About these
can
last 3 years. Okay, prior to that...
Well, that's where I was going with it, is when it was Edge, Big Show, and Cena in that three-way at Mania, that's when I would have maybe pulled the trigger on doing it against Taker.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember who Taker fought then.
No, I can't recall.
Unless Taker was hurt, which is possible.
I don't think he was on that one, but...
Which WrestleMania was that? That was WrestleMania 20...
24? 23?
Skin?
Yeah, look it up. But, I mean, you had the... when he faced Edge, it could have been Cena instead. When he faced Batista, even. You know, you could have done it then. I mean, there's been a lot of years. And as for just the speculation, personally, why I think they've never done it, is because... I mean, part of me thinks...
Didn't he fight Bruiser Mastino?
No.
Oh.
No. Yeah, well, actually, he did fight Bruiser Mastino at two WrestleManias.
That's... Oh, I see. Okay.
Because Kane was Bruiser Mastino.
So, let's see. It was WrestleMania 25, right? That was in Texas there that they had? That's what it was.
Yeah.
So, I'm just trying to find all the match listings.
Find all the
so
stuff. And you
to
keep
talk
talking.
Here.
Yeah, keep talking. You want me to keep talking? You keep talking.
I never
want.
Time, I never
is
want.
Is this
to
as entertaining to you as it is to me?
Well, okay, so 25 was Taker and Shawn. Okay.
Okay.
And so the first one. So that's when you had that three-way thing.
Okay, so
with
what
Cena.
Was
24? So 24 was against Edge.
Okay.
In the main event.
And 23 was Batista.
Yeah. So. I can't look back with Undertaker in any way.
I think the one with Edge you could have done because didn't Cena take on Shawn Michaels?
What?
Didn't Cena take on?
No, that was the one against Batista. Cena
yeah, that's right.
would have. I don't know what Cena did that one, but that was the one with Shawn and Flair and Money Mayweather.
I think that was the three way. That wasn't the three.
No, the three way was the 25. The three way was in Texas. So no, that's what I said. In hindsight. I look back at probably the last 7 years of WrestleMania, and...
You could have fit it in.
Maybe, but I don't have any regrets on anything that Undertaker's done at that in the last 7 years.
I suppose.
Right? So...
You could have fit it in.
But again, do I swap out Cena for a great match with Batista? No. That match
turned out much better than
that match with Edge. No.
I would have, yeah, the Edge is the one I would have.
See, that...
Because Edge had already lost a little bit of steam at that point because they had already beat him the previous year and did his WrestleMania streak. If he still had the streak going where he was like 8-0 himself, then for sure I'd do it. But if you had him, since you had him lose the year before, it would have been a much bigger match.
Could have thrown it in there, sure. Yeah. But I mean, they were counting on Money Mayweather to be the draw there anyway.
Yeah, but okay, so the question, well, that Mania did over a million buys.
Yeah.
Okay. So well, let's put it this way then. Why didn't they do it? Like, I think that part of me is thinking they want to protect Cena. They don't want Cena to lose, and they don't want Taker to lose.
No, but that's
or
what
part
it was.
Of me is thinking they don't want Cena to be booed, but then they put him against Shawn Michaels.
Right.
You know? So I kind of wonder. I mean, it's just you
again,
have
it was,
so few matches that can draw. Why do you leave someone on the table for that long?
Well, because,
it just seems like bad business.
But, again, what did we just go through in the last 7 fucking years?
Yeah.
Like, WrestleMania 23 in Chicago? Is that... No, 22 in L.A. was when... Both Batista and Cena won the respective belts, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's 22, and now we've had 20 WrestleMania 27, right?
Yeah.
So from then on, So we're looking at WrestleMania 23, 24, 25, 26, 27. So there's been five WrestleManias. You said the last 7 years. There's really been five WrestleManias, right? You take two of those with Shawn Michaels out of the equation, right? There's three. They had a match with Batista, which was great. So you take away now you got two. The one with Hunter and Cena interacting with The Rock, right? So I have Cena interacting with The Rock more than I do with Taker. And so, boom.
If they didn't have
one.
The Rock going, I'd say Cena-Taker next year.
Yeah.
But with The Rock,
but
yeah.
Now you've got Edge, right? Yeah. So you're talking about why didn't they do it, why didn't they pull the trigger. In terms of timing in a WrestleMania setting, it just hasn't happened.
Okay.
So I don't see it now. Does that make another potential blockbuster match down the road? But especially now that they fucking need them so badly, I think it's a good thing in hindsight that you've never pulled the trigger on it.
I suppose. And it's nice to have it down there.
Down where?
Down there.
Oh, okay.
Just nice to have it in your back pocket in case you do. So this man goes to a doctor's office with his wife. And the two of them, they say, you know, we're having trouble in the bedroom. And the doctor says, well, I'm going to examine them, you know. And he's like, I'll figure out what's going on. So, you know, he takes the man's clothes off and, you know, he pokes this and checks that. And coughs.
Does he
here,
really?
Holds this and everything, you know. Yeah. And he takes the woman's clothes off and he lies down on the table and goes, okay, put your clothes back on to her. And the man's like, and he goes, and he starts to say, I think I know what the problem is. And the man says, well, how can you know what the problem is? You examined me thoroughly. You barely looked at the wife. And he goes, yeah, but the doctor says, but I wouldn't fuck her either.
Mm-hmm.
O-U-T.
Okay, so that's, so you've said that now. So.
Yeah, what, do you want me to say something else?
Well, we were going to we're not going to end the show on shit.
Oh,
fuck it.
Not just the fact that he comes out there and he's never angry. That's part of it. It's not just his wrestling style. It's just everything about him. I just feel like he's a guy playing a role who they've created, and he's not. And he's just good enough at it. The guy, when I watch John Cena, my feeling, my dislike to him is kind of like how I feel when I'm watching a person who's a politician, who's a president or something else in that nature, me going, God, he's just playing that role perfectly and people are buying it and it pisses me off.
Mm-hmm. Just lapping the shit up, eh? But
they're lapping the shit up. And so, yeah, I mean, sure, he throws a horrible-looking punch. He doesn't look athletic. He doesn't look to me like he can win a fight. He's a strong guy, but the difference between a strong guy and a guy who looks like he's tough and can win a fight. But the thing is that the WWE has pushed away. Like, the WWE...
I know, but
the WWE
people...
got back up to 3.7, 3.8 when The Rock came back
prior to
Mania. They did 1 million buys for Mania. They've lost it since then because what they did was they...
Because what I told you is because people came back for Hunter, Undertaker, Rock, Austin.
Well, if people came back...
Now they're not there.
Okay, wait. People thought that they could convert those fans, right?
They failed.
Failed. Now, here's my theory on this, okay? All right. Here's my theory on this. What they did was they thought that they could convert those fans. But those fans came back and they wanted to cheer The Rock and they wanted to see this guy, John Cena, get his ass kicked. They didn't turn Cena when they needed to.
Mm-hmm.
If they had done that, they might have had some of these people stick around because basically it's not even just the fact that they want to cheer against Cena. It's the fact that they want to cheer against Cena and the WWE telling to them, oh no, we're not going to change anything, means that nobody's going to buy that Cena has and nobody's, not many people are going to think it anyways, but the small kernel that maybe The Rock's going to kick his ass next
Robert
year
Parker?
Has been absolutely, I didn't say nugget.
You said kernel.
Exactly.
Robert Parker.
So the small kernel that maybe The Rock actually will kick this guy's ass, which we want to see, has been taken away. Nobody believes that. Because they didn't turn the guy heel. And you always want to see that. They've missed that opportunity. They turned away those fans because they didn't give them what they wanted. They didn't recognize the situation. Instead, fear of their ticket sales and the merchandising took over that. And you know what? I have to say...
I don't think that's a problem.
No, wait. They do believe that John Cena, they're going to lose the merchandise and they're going to lose that young audience. They do believe that. They're going to lose those sales and the house shows. They do. Now, here's the thing,
though. Of
course
they are.
But, yeah, to a degree, it's possible. Somebody else might step up. And that's my point is, you never get... What is the expression? There's an expression, you never get anywhere by being safe.
You have to be, you know, you have to be brave. You have to take a chance. It might blow up in your face, but greatness is only achieved if you're brave. And WWE has not been brave.
Bravest man, you know. But no, they haven't. And but at the same time, they're worse off.
Maybe
I don't know.
Not.
I don't know. You know,
we
I mean,
don't know. It's theory.
You
it's
don't know.
Talking.
We don't know. No. But no, we really don't. And that's the thing. But I agree. Okay, they could have gone the Cena road. I don't disagree with the fact that they could have gone the route of
better chance to not drive.
I don't know that. Yeah, but I don't know that they're that far off with like the thing that you that yeah, I look at is when. When I look at the biggest example I can
quite
do...
Quite
fucking frankly. The biggest example I can look at when you're talking about turning somebody heel...
Yeah.
...is Hogan.
Yeah.
Right? Who else?
That was Austin.
And that
because
didn't work.
Fans were already ready to turn on him.
Yes.
That's
yes,
when the moment
yes.
you pulled the trigger.
But okay. Would Hogan have... Drawn what would
okay?
So
let's
what
put
if,
it this way.
Shut the fuck up for a second.
Wait a second.
Who did Hogan draw his box office with?
What do you mean?
Who did Hollywood Hulk Hogan set the pay per view record
Sting.
With? Sting.
Yeah.
Okay. Could
okay,
Hulk?
You're okay, your drunk
did,
ass form a sentence.
No. Who did Hogan not draw the pay per view box office record with? Savage.
He did well with Savage. He did extremely
Giant,
well.
Luger.
Extremely well with Roddy Piper.
Luger. Goldberg. Well, that was their own fuck-up. But
he would have done Monster Business.
He would have done Monster Business with Goldberg. You're right.
He would have done Monster Business with Nash.
But the thing is
right.
We did... If it was done right, Sting was done right, and
yes.
they had the right person in place.
And they did good
Who
business
Who do you
and all
do
that?
Heel John Cena with that draws box office?
The Rock, moron. Next year, that's the point.
No, I don't think that necessarily matters.
It would.
Way
it
because
would be a bigger match.
This is their...
I guarantee a lot of the people that had come here and gotten up to that bigger rating and paid for this Mania, they think a lot of them are going to come back immediately. They're not. They're not necessarily going to come back just because The Rock is sitting there and he's going to take on Cena now. If they think that The Rock doesn't have a chance, if they think, oh, you know what, you've already been betrayed, you've already played your hand out, you've shown us that this guy is not going to beat Cena, he's not going to, you know, they have to give them some reason to believe. And if you had a heel John Cena that was taking on Rey Mysterio, for instance, to start with, because the children's champion has turned on the children, and then the other children's hero, Rey Mysterio, takes him on, but fails and builds it up to being The Rock, then the people will actually get behind that storyline. But if they're going to sit there and just, you know, throw the guy out against a bunch of people like The Miz, who it's stale, and then Alberto Del Rio, and nobody knows what cares what's going to happen, and then he's going to face The Rock, and everybody knows The Rock's going to lose. And you know what? They've already betrayed the people that wanted to come back. People want to watch wrestling. People want to be there. People want to pay attention to what's going on in the WWE. You see that. That's why they give it a chance when they hear there's something that might interest them, and they come back. But you know what? When you sat there and taken away any of their hope, then they just kind of give up and run away, and that's what's happened. Please, give me a... Try and come back to that, Nimrod.
I'm sorry, what? I wasn't listening.
I know you weren't. You're taking a piss. That's why I was trying to talk loud enough you could hear me.
I know. Well, no,
that's what
I
will
hear
do.
You. I don't agree with any of that. But no, I'm just thinking that with the way I look at it, the way that the match is positioned... Is it's positioned as a situation
beer,
where I'm going to have another fucking beer. Is that it's positioned as a dream match. And it's a match between a top star from before and a top star now. And I think if you are going to throw, I don't disagree necessarily.
I'm not saying it isn't going to be a big match and draw. I'm saying it's not going to draw to its maximum potential because they've already fucked that up.
Mm. My question for you, though, is that if Rock's got the itch,
mm-hmm.
not the Billy Kidman itch, not
well, it didn't last 7 years.
Not
just one year itch.
Not my dog itch.
No.
But my itch. But no, that's your mom's fault. But
yeah.
If...
Rock has the itch.
If The Rock has the itch, then can you do a face versus face and then Cena turns heel and that match is even bigger? Can you do that?
No.
Or is it just the first time? It's got to be the only time.
No. Yeah. The opportunity was there. It's like there was a time when Hulk Hogan, when they fans were turning on him. It was a good time for him to turn. There was fans were sick of his act.
My thing in 1996, I understand
they
the
were
comparison.
Sick of his act. They were sick of his act when Sid Vicious and him at the Royal Rumble.
I know,
ready to turn it, and they didn't.
I understand.
But on the other hand, if they had turned Hulk Hogan in WrestleMania 5 and left Randy Savage as his face, it wouldn't have been as big. Timing is everything.
Could you have turned Hulk Hogan?
Just turning Bull Goldberg.
Could
or,
you have
or
turned
turning,
Hulk
turning
Hogan?
Austin didn't matter.
Could you have turned Hulk Hogan in 1993?
Yeah, you could have against Bret Hart.
Could you?
You could have, but it wouldn't have been as big, but you could have, yeah.
Yes, and that's the thing. Yes, you could have. It wouldn't have been that big. And that's the part of me.
But it wasn't
part of me
because he wasn't around as much for the last
part of
years.
Me right now, and this is it. I don't disagree.
Bret
could
have done a face versus face match.
Yeah.
He was the only, he could have against
Hogan.
He's the only one.
We talked about that. The thing is, down. The thing is, we talk. What I don't disagree with you that I think that Cena.
Of course you don't. I'm right.
That Cena should go heel, but I'm one of those. I don't think it's so bad right now to the point when it get. You know, when you're desperate, that's when you pull it out. And I
the ratings say that they're down. The ratings are down.
Yeah, but they're not desperate. We just talked about TNA being above a fucking industry, and that's okay. But suddenly, WWE is three times their rating, and that's not okay.
Well, they're in three times as many homes. You know, if you go to your hotel room in Chicago,
you get the USA Network.
Yeah,
that's
you don't
right,
get Spike TV.
Never mind, my point is moot. No, but what I look at is, I'm one of those guys that I just kind of I understand what you're saying, but people, I mean, when it was Edge was used to turn Cena face.
Yeah.
Fully. And he was the slimy guy that could do it.
Yeah.
Right? So, and that was...
That plus...
No, no,
ultimate,
okay.
Yeah, that plus the Elimination Chamber starting from the beginning to the end, the combination of he went through so much.
Well, I just mean going forward, like even on the Raws that and all the way up to that, other than,
that
of course,
up a good question.
All the way up to that one night stand. But I look at, that was what, 2005, was it, or 6? Six.
I think it was 2006, I believe,
okay.
Yeah.
So that was 5 years ago then.
Yeah.
You know, that we're coming 5 to 6 years ago, right? 5.5 years ago, that people were booing John Cena.
Yeah.
6 years ago.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you talk about, they boo, and they've been ready, and blah, 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 and all that. And I don't, I'm mocking you, but I don't disagree. But, it's like to mock you. But, but.
Have a beer and make your point, because I got to come back.
I'm going to make my point, then I'm going to have a beer. But it's something that I don't know that it's time, because it's not
I'm
like
drinking
this is,
Coke and
this
going back
have,
to beer.
In 1992, but in 1992, Hogan wasn't getting booed as insatiously as he was in 1994.
We don't know that because they...
Ah, you're right. Sweetness sound. Actually, okay. In 1990.
Okay.
He wasn't as 1994. Let's go 4 years, right?
Yeah.
But 5 years ago, Cena was getting booed about as much as he's getting booed now. So there's just been that there. That's always been part of Cena. And Cena even said, if you hate me, you like me, blah, blah, blah. He's kind of incorporated that into the gimmick at times, right, when he's getting a hostile crowd. So to me, I think that eventually you can go full heel with him and get everybody to hate him, and it will be hot. I have no doubt that when Cena turns heel, it will be hot. Not on the level of Hulk Hogan, because he wasn't on the star level of Hulk Hogan, but I do think it'll be bigger than Rock and bigger than Austin, because they were the wrong times to turn them.
People didn't want those guys turned.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, Rock
or Goldberg, you mean, not Rock. Rock they wanted, but it was different. He was pretty much a semi regular at the time.
Yeah, but then Rock didn't even work really as a heel. Because
he was too funny.
He is. Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
But the thing is, definitely Goldberg. Fuck, that was
terrible.
Yeah, but I won't even talk about that because that's way down the list. But
yeah.
I'm talking about Cena, and I think you can wait.
Okay. Here's my point. When Ray or okay, let's go back to this. When John Cena was being booed on Raw there, the ratings were weekly about a 3.6, 2006. When the ratings were about a 3.6, 3.7, 3.8, their pay-per-view buys were about a 180, 200, 220, in that range. Now they're about a 3.1 and about 80,000.
Yeah.
So this doesn't say to you that because those people, they didn't just stick around and go, you know what, I'm sick of booing Cena. They fucked off. That's my point. Now they came back for The Rock, and they did, and they fucked off again because they didn't give them what they wanted, and the crowd, rest of the crowd would have followed along if you had done it right. It was time to turn him. Let's put it this way. I'm going to say Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena is their SummerSlam main event, right, that they're looking at. Do you really believe in your heart that Alberto Del Rio versus John – no, your black heart.
Owen Hart?
Yes. But do you really believe
– Sorry, you meant Bruce Hart.
No, that's just a bad company. Anyways – let's just say, do you really believe that Alberto Del Rio versus John Cena at this year's SummerSlam is a bigger draw than a heel John Cena versus a babyface kids hero Rey Mysterio would have been? Can you really tell me that?
No.
Fuck, then it's done.
I think it'd be the same.
It would. Oh, are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Mexican against white guy.
It works in boxing.
No, exactly. No, I'm just I understand your point, and I agree, but I just I don't know. There's just when you turn Cena, okay. Let's look at it this way. I look at the fact that when you turn Cena, you've really started him down a path where he's got to be a white hot heel. For a couple years.
I think 1 year's enough. I think 1 year.
Okay. One year.
Okay.
And then he goes back to being a baby face.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Unless he continues to draw as a heel, then you stay with it.
Yes. Okay. But, and I just kind of look at it from, right now, you've got a guy that's been the number one requested Make-A-Wish Foundation guy. You've got – no, but now let's just look at – and you've got a guy selling the most merchandise. And again, we're not in there, and I have dug deep into their financials to know exactly who's selling what. But right now, they are not losing money, and they're not changing. We talked about the cash in the coffers, as I mentioned, and the change in the corporate strategy of WWE to spend some money, right, and buy some things, okay? When that money goes away, then I think that's going to be an auspices possibly to turn John Cena if things are going down. What I'm telling you right now is that
they can be making money and still not be a hot company, still not be a hot product. Mm. That's what they are right now. So you can't
look at
that.
What are they right now?
What they are right now. A company that's making money but not a hot product.
Yes.
You can make more money and be a hot product.
Yes. Or you can lose more money and not
but
be a hot product.
They wouldn't because their financial
structure. What are you talking about?
Their financial.
Whoa.
We have the alien life form known as Alf. He's on the phone for us. We're really looking forward to this. We wanted to talk to Alf for a long time because, Alf, are you there?
Hey, Willie, is that you?
Name's Mo, but it's okay. Alf, we saw you do a commercial just a few years ago with Hulk Hogan, and that's kind of why we wanted to have you on here. So your wrestling background with Hulk, what was that like? Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, sure, no problem. Now, me and Hulk, we were twin brothers from different mothers. It was tremendous, Willie. It was ecstatic, Willie. It was one of the greatest times of my career.
My name's not. It's Mo. But anyways, Alf, so I actually got a couple emails because I had mentioned to a couple friends that you're going to be on.
Oh, great.
One of them, my good buddy Art Donovan, he's wondering how much you weigh.
Well, that's a personal question, Willie, and I'm not sure I want to answer that.
Still, Mo. Okay, how about this one? I got one from Bob Uecker. He was wondering actually how tall you are.
Well, Bob Uecker, what a great guy. Yeah, I used to be on Mr. Belvedere. Tremendous show. Love the show. Great show. How tall am I? I'm 3'6".
3'6", okay.
When I'm not wearing pumps.
when you're not wearing pumps. All right. Well, that's actually right in there with his question. He's wondering, he thought you were about that size, and if you were, he was wondering if you would consider, according to, this is Bob Uecker's quote on his email, if he is in the size to be in the midgets, would he care to wrestle in the in a midget in the WWE? Maybe he could see a little beaver.
We prefer the term little people.
Oh.
But little beaver, I'm not sure about beaver, but I do like to eat cats.
Oh, so you're kind of like Jerry Lawler.
Jerry Lawler? Well, Jerry Lawler likes to eat cats because they only live to be 16.
Ah.
A lot.
Had, they should have had Cole, like, spray barbecue sauce in his face again and get it in his eye. And
well,
because that happened before. Remember, he sprayed it and he accidentally got it in his eye. He had to go to the back and get it washed out.
His eye
and that legitimately
shirt.
Happened. And I have been told by your mom when she gets sprayed accidentally in the eye by me that that does hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. And it was probably the same kind of brown. I've got Dennis Rodman on the line here. Rodbod, how are you?
Well, I'm excellent, man. How are you doing? How are you there? How good you?
Dennis Rodman, you were you're an NBA Hall of Famer and a, as I said, a former WCW main eventer. What was it like being in the ring at Bash at the Beach?
I mean, I was in the ring with the Aston Bees, and there's Hulk Hogan, and there's the Karl Malone, you know what I mean? Me and Karl Malone, we double-teamed that wife, man. We double-teamed the shit out of that. We treated a solid mic, sucked my cock and stuff, and it pussy felt so good, mother shit. Shit!
All right, well, that's... Okay. You also had a match against Macho Man Randy Savage at Road Wild.
Randy Savage, motherfucker. But you know what? Him and Elizabeth, and you know what? We, the two of us, we ran, pounded that shit, and went in inside the ass and shit. You know what I do? The ass to mouse and shit. No, motherfucker. Shit.
So the match was good, was it? Okay. And now, also, let's talk briefly. You remember the NWO really brought a lot of celebrity and spotlight to NWO WCW at the time. How did that come about?
I mean, my wife and Carmen Electra, you know, and Carmen Electra, she blew all of us in the NWO, you know, going down deep and going down deep.
Okay.
Motherfucking just bitch swallowed, right. Man. Yeah. Motherfucker, she.
Okay, well, so thanks very much. We're going to have to let you go here. Some time constraints, but thank you very much, The Worm, Dennis Rodman. Any time you want to come on, you just let us know.
Fuck y'all later.
All right. That was, wow. NBA Hall of Famer.
NBA Hall of Famer. You know what? That was lewd.
Well, that's why I did cut him off. I was getting... We just,
it's just embarrassing.
Well, we try to stay clean.
Fuck it!
This week, our schedule's... Addy is back to work. He's had a little vacation. Lucky son of a bitch.
And the Calgary Stampede is on here.
Yeah,
and so
the Calgary Stampede.
I'm going to be drunk for most of the week. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, let's... For those of you not familiar with Calgary, Calgary Stampede is a combination of Mardi Gras... and a rodeo that lasts for 10 days, a big party in the city where a lot of tourists come in. There's a big North American Championship of Rodeos and fairgrounds and shows and free food, and I hate it.
Yeah, that's because people are involved, Mo, and you don't have any friends.
No,
but
and
for
I hate
those
people,
of us,
I hate them so much.
Those of us that like to party, have a good time, and get along with others, we do. We just drink a lot of beer.
Seriously, I just can't stand the Stampede. Fuck you, Stampede. Nothing worse. All these horses going around shitting on the streets. You get these fat fucks who are like 50 years old.
Yeah.
Who have the same pair of jeans that they only wear, these cowboy jeans, the straight leg ones. They only wear them like once a year.
Hey.
And they bought them 30 years ago. And they still put them on like they haven't put on 50 pounds.
Yeah.
And they were tight cowboy jeans back then.
Mm.
And now they can't bend the knees. And it takes them 4 hours to cross the street. Fuck you, you're not a cowboy. I hate the Stampede. And you know what else I hate? Christmas. While I'm at it, I fucking hate Christmas. It is July. I expect to see my first Christmas commercial probably tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I hate Christmas. Merry fucking Christmas. And you know what else? Christmas in July was a shitty idea. Whoever came up with that, lick my ball sack.
So Monday Night Raw.
Fuck it.
So if you want to...
I got him. Ahead. He's on the line.
You get him on the line. Are you there? Shawn Michaels, are you there?
Oh, hello. Sean. This is We Talk Wrestling.
This is We Talk Wrestling. All Sean, right. Is this Shawn Michaels?
This is the headliner, the showstopper, the main event, the icon that can still go.
Nice. So does that mean you're coming back? Is that
no.
Oh, I got excited for a moment.
Yeah, hey, well, I heard that about you and my playgirl.
You know what? I was just, it wasn't, it was still...
Hunter told me women look at that.
Yeah, it's women. It's women.
That's what he told me.
Yeah. Well, you were luckily still clothed.
Yeah.
Anyways.
You've seen it.
All right, Sean. So what do you got going on? I know you got a hunting show going on.
I have my new show on the Outdoor Life Network. I'm out there right now. I'm just as I'm talking to you here. I'm hunting away, and you know it's a beautiful day for hunting. Yeah, right there.
What the hell? What was that? What are you hunting?
I just hit a moose.
That didn't sound like a moose.
That was a moose. Oh. That was a moose. Go. Can you go check that? Can you go check that? Here, I'm with my buddy here.
You're not hunting by yourself. You're out with
a
friend?
No, you never hunt alone, Mo. You never hunt alone.
You with Hunter?
No, I'm not with Hunter.
He doesn't like to hunt.
He doesn't. No, he's going to go look for alligators with me on my show. But no, I am with my buddy here. Say hi, buddy.
Stumpy, the stump shooting champion of Texas.
Ah, he sure is.
He's Stumpy the stump.
Stumpy, baby.
That's who you're hunting with, is it?
I'm hunting with
Stumpy because was there an accident?
I am hunting with Stumpy. I was hunting Stumpy one time,
and you're
which is why he's Stumpy.
Moose. You're
hunting
saying.
Moose.
Oh.
I got to tell you, you got to eat everything you kill, because the people from PETA were trying to ram things down my throat.
Oh, those bastards.
Those bastards.
So what's your favorite weapon to use when you're hunting there?
I got my bow and arrow. I've got my shotgun that I'm using right now. And you talk about you guys out of Calgary. I am a sharpshooter.
You're a sharpshooter.
I'm a sharpshooter, as is Stumpy.
Stumpy, nice. So what else you got going on? Anything else you want to plug?
Well, have you ever heard of the book, The Most Dangerous Game?
The most dangerous, well, hold on. The most dangerous game is man, isn't it?
Most dangerous game, well, the heartbreak kid Shawn Michaels is hunting the world's most dangerous man, Ken Shamrock. I'm going hunting after Ken. I've had to tell him what to do. He's agreed to it. He's not very good, but...
Da!
Ha! Got him. I got me Ken Shamrock.
You don't lay down your rifle for anyone, do you?
The Heartbreak Kid lays his rifle down for absolutely nobody. I'm just out here now. There's some wild gazelle, and I am going to hunt and kill the wild gazelle. Got him.
All right, thanks, Sean.
All right, thanks very much, guys.
He's packing some serious heat for a show. You know what? A show where he's hunting Ken Shamrock, I'll watch.
I think so. I think I will. Well, I hope Ken's okay though.
Yeah. Well, I've never met a guy named Ken I like.
It's true.
Anyways, anything else you want to hit here? Should we go out with the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the
week?
I think let's forget the other guest until next time.
Maybe next time we can hit that. We're about an hour 20
another
here.
Hulk
so why don't we do, it seems to be a tradition here now of wrapping up with the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week, but why don't we hit the Hulk Hogan bullshit of the week? Week.
All right. Week. This week's Hulk Hogan Bullshit of the Week, this one's particularly great. In the 1990s, the Rolling Stones needed a bassist. Okay. And in the 90s also, at one point, a bassist was needed by Metallica. And he sent feelers out through his through his agent to both of them that he would come and be their bassist.
Really?
And if they had accepted, he would have given up the wrestling industry forever.
Forever. Wow. And they decided not to
For some reason, they didn't take him up for it.
No.
Hard to believe. No. You know, I fucking would have loved to have seen him up there playing with Metallica.
No. Maybe the Rolling Stones, though. In the 90s, him and the Rolling Stones, maybe. But Metallica?
Well, actually, I'd like to see him with the Rolling Stones now. He would actually perhaps be the most mobile member of the band.
He very well could be. And done just as many drugs.
And I think we should take this, because this guy calling me constantly. He's so goddamn annoying.
Is it really? Is it? He's still calling. Okay. Okay, so I'll take this, and I'll pretend you're gone, because I know he just annoys the shit out of you. Hello, you're on the air?
Oh, Jesus Christ. I was wondering if you're going to take the phone now. Jesus Christ, what's going on?
Disco, is that you?
That's the Disco Inferno. Who's this? Who called me?
You called me. It's Addy.
I never heard of you, Addy.
Addy, We Talk Wrestling.
Who the hell is this?
I don't know. You keep calling me.
Oh, Jesus
me.
Christ.
Calling,
I don't know what's going on here.
You keep calling Mo.
Who?
My.
Oh, who is this? What show is this?
This is We Talk Wrestling.
What is it?
It's a We Talk Wrestling Disco.
And you, what do you do on the show?
We try to avoid taking phone calls from people like you.
What? Jesus Christ, I have no idea what you're talking about. Wait a second. Oh, I know this show. We Talk Wrestling. I'm a big fan of the show, Jesus Christ.
Well, can we?
Can you fucking book me?
Well, we can't book you, no.
I gotta go then.
Okay, gotta go.
Do you have any questions for me? I have a lot of experience. Jesus Christ.
Well, I thought I would ask the one question about you and the long-time rumor about you being managed by the Honky Tonk Man back in the day. Were there ever any plans in place for you to come in and do that?
Well, Jesus Christ, I couldn't manage the Honky Tonk Man. He wasn't Italian, you know? And I couldn't go anyway because I tried to go to WWF when they let me go. Jesus Christ. And fucking Bruno Sammartino was already there.
So that was a problem then.
Yeah, I tried to go back to the TNA, but the TNA wouldn't let me go. They have Dominic DiNucci.
They have Dominic DiNucci, did they?
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Okay,
yes. How many Italians can you have, you know? And then I was in WCW, and they tried to make me lose to a woman. Jesus Christ.
They did do that. They did try to.
I said I couldn't do that, you know, because I'd already bet on myself.
Okay, you did. Did you? Okay, so yeah. I was okay. Well.
So they let me go, and they had to come back, you know? Yeah. Don't let me go. I want to talk. You can't let me go.
We gotta let you go.
They said, come back. I said, you're a little stupid. I said, can't be more stupid. I'm just so fucking stupid. I don't know what's going on. What? Am I gone?
Okay, let's just do that. That was uncomfortable.
That fucking guy annoys the shit out of me. Why didn't you get rid of him earlier?
I was trying.
You don't answer the phone for
fuck Russo. True, that is true. This gets in, and I mentioned it on our post mania show that these are people that don't know what the fuck they're doing, and so they can't take a Steve. Where it used to be, they're not letting Steve Austin be Steve Austin. They're not letting The Rock be The Rock. They're not letting, after we watch some YouTube videos, they're not letting Zack Ryder be fucking Zack Ryder.
Long Island Ice Z.
If you go to Long Island Ice Z's channel on YouTube and see what we're talking about, it's fucking phenomenal.
It's the greatest thing probably going today.
It is.
It is absolutely fantastic. And you hear me talk about Broski and take care and spike your hair. And here, these are some of his things. Buy my shirt, bro.
Got the Broski of the Week award. He does a 5-minute show.
It's just entertaining. It brings up something though. I mean, you have this guy. He's out there. He's doing this great stuff on YouTube. He's got Scott Stanford showing personality on there.
That's right.
He's got
Hawkins showing some personality on there.
Hawkins was on there. Cena was on there briefly.
Cena was him and Cena. Their interaction is hilarious. It's almost enough to make me like Cena.
And
it was
the
fantastic.
The Miz,
Cena was great on there.
Miz,
the Miz, yeah. And
Hunter No sold it.
Yeah, Hunter No sold it. And people are starting to bring Zach Pack signs to the crowd and
Broski of the Week
signs and it's he's doing something. He's getting his character out there. He's further developing his character. The WWE isn't going to do it for him. WWE isn't going to put him on TV. He's going, fuck you. You won't do it for me? I'll do it for myself. Why the fuck isn't fucking Tyson Kidd, Kofi Kingston, Daniel Bryan, the Usos, everybody, if they're not going to do it for you, why aren't you on YouTube? Going out there and getting your character over, developing your character, doing what you can. It's a modern society with modern technology, new ways to do it. That you don't have to sit in there having the promos that you have to cut for the tours across the city like they used to in the 80s, like Jericho did in WCW to practice his mic skills. But you can go out there. You can cut a promo on anybody on American Idol. You can cut a promo on other wrestlers. You can do vignettes. You can do everything to develop and find your own character.
Well,
they won't do it for
you.
And show you have the charisma. Like Zack Ryder, I applaud that guy.
Your question,
everybody else should be doing it.
Your question is why isn't everybody else doing it? I'll start with one, is that Cody Rhodes did all WrestleMania weekend, and as far as we know, everywhere, walks around with that thing on his face.
Yeah,
okay?
Cody Rhodes is awesome.
So he's selling the deal, and I love the Cody Rhodes character with the hood.
Second best character right now behind Del Rio on SmackDown, as far as being developed.
And
closing ground.
I would even say, he's getting to be the first.
Yeah,
awesome. Now.
But
anyway, and why isn't everybody doing this? Because there's been no evidence that it matters. That's why. Because
who gives a shit?
No, I'll tell you why. Okay, I'll tell you who gives a shit. Am I going to fucking sit there and do all this shit and spend all this time and get, wished well on my future endeavors?
Yes, absolutely.
No, I'm not. I'm
because,
a lazy
you know
son
no,
of a bitch.
No, some of them are. Yeah,
yes.
You are.
And
some of them obviously
are. Some
of
them will be, and some of them will care. But I applaud
you. H. Smith needs to be sitting there going, every single waking minute he's awake, he should be thinking of his character.
No,
because
The
Rock said that
that's
he
right.
did that.
I
the
agree,
Rock would
I
say
agree.
He would drive to places thinking of catchphrases, thinking of angles, thinking of promos. Mick Foley said it. They're cutting promos in their head. And he should be doing that and then going on YouTube and following Zack Ryder. And whether it gets over or not, it's still – if this is your profession, it's still what you – how much fucking time, off time, or when you're at work or when you're driving or whatever, do you spend thinking of shit for this show that we do a few hours a week that we don't get paid for, that we do out of love? I don't see any evidence that a lot of these guys have as much passion for what they're doing in the WWE as what we do for this show.
Well, no, but what I'm also looking at is will it? It's not even a matter of will it. Does it matter? Will it work? There's no evidence yet that anybody's been looking at these or seeing these.
Well,
the other thing
people
is
are bringing signs,
if you've heard
of the week, some people are. It's a groundswell. It starts
it's
somewhere.
It's starting.
But even if you want to go to Japan or TNA or whatever you want to do, you develop your character.
Who created
and you're not
it?
Going to.
Who created it?
Who created what?
Who created it?
Created what?
Who went on YouTube and created this stuff? Whose idea was it?
Zack Ryder's, I'm guessing.
Yes.
They don't have the WWE.
Which writer? Which writer? No, which writer did it?
No,
fuck you. This is reality. This is fucking reality. If
you
got it, the fucking politics of that fucking company, if there's not somebody fucking pushing for you because they fucking came up with a fucking idea for the fucking thing, they won't fucking use it.
No.
So fucking Zack Ryder sitting on there where I love it, you love it, there's all these fucking broskies of the week that love it. It's not going to amount to a hill of shit unless Vince goes, oh, that's pretty good, pal. Let's run
you
with
know what?
It.
But no, I disagree. If there's one guy coming out there with a sign going broski of the week, then next week there's three guys.
You. He knows what you want
later,
better than you do.
There's two guys. Next, and eventually there's 20 guys, and people are going up to
that
Hunter.
That bullshit
and they go,
hasn't
you know
worked.
What? This guy's showing passion. This guy's trying. He's not in his video game his room playing video games doing nothing. He's not Carlito. He's not Shelton Benjamin.
Yes.
He's trying, then he has a shot.
That's what
and
I'm
there's
saying.
There's absolutely no excuse for these guys not to be trying.
There is, because if it's going to hurt them, Because they're going to go, oh, well, he thinks he can do a better job than we can.
That's true.
Then they're going to fucking downfall.
There is
so that's what they're doing. As soon as fucking Zack Ryder's Long Island fucking IZ shit shows up on fucking Raw and he gets a fucking push and it fucking works, you're going to get a million fucking people on fucking YouTube doing the same shit. But someone's got to go out there and do it first. And that's why I applaud Zack Ryder. I think it's great. I think it's fucking awesome.
I will say this.
But
I will
everybody
say this.
Is going to be on. Everybody right now is on fucking wait and see. And if this works, you are absolutely right. There is going to be fucking tons of it.
But
out
they
there.
Shouldn't be on wait and see. They should be doing this.
I disagree.
They should be doing this
I think
for their own character. They should be doing this for their own business, for their own good. They should be doing this even if they're leaving the WWE. And you know what? There is the Stevie
if
Richards.
They're leaving.
There is the Stevie Richards. Hey, you're we're releasing you because you've brought us too many ideas thing. There is that. Don't get me wrong. The WWE is amazing the way they do business.
Yes.
The way that they create. The way that they think. It's so fucked up. If you don't think so, listen to the Writers Week on Figure Four. It's, absolutely incredible. That's not really the point. The point is that there should be somebody's, not just one person should be trying. There's no excuse for these guys not to try.
Well, that's that.
What do you have to lose? You don't have anything to lose.
You
haven't been on TV. You're D.H. Smith. You haven't been on TV for 6 weeks anyways. You're Ted DiBiase. You've been jobbed out every fucking time you're on TV anyways. There's no excuse to not try. What's it going to do? What's the worst that's going to happen?
You lose a paycheck.
Oh, fuck that. You're going to lose a paycheck if you're cut anyways.
Well, yeah, that's true. But if you don't give them any reason, if you stay below the radar, and I'm just giving you the mentality of what it is. I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just telling you this is the fucking reality of it, is that if you stay below – I mean, how fucking long did Kung Funaki stay employed?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And Funaki stayed employed, and he was good, and he just...
Scotty Too Hotty.
I mean, people that don't...
Stevie Richards!
People that don't make fucking waves, you know, and then Stevie started to get, you know, bored, and he said, well, give me this, let me this, and then
I mean,
he
the WWE
released, right?
has given up on trying to get... Like, they used to do, you know, the dirt sheet, and Santino had a show on...
Santino's Casa.
Yeah, stuff like that on WWE.com to give these guys a chance to develop their personality. And you know what? I just... whatever. All right, I think I've won this argument, so let's move on to the next...
You won the argument in fucking La La Land.
Yeah, right.
But in the reality of the company, it's why they're not doing it. And I'm telling you, I don't give
a shit of why they're not doing it. I give a shit of why the
argument is
the superstars aren't trying.
And that's what I'm telling you. Why the superstars aren't trying is because the mentality is that it's going to hurt them and not help them. And until they're proven wrong.
They don't know that. Nobody knows that.
Yeah, exactly.
It hasn't hurt
exactly.
Zack Ryder yet.
When was the last time you saw Zack Ryder on Raw?
When Snooki touched him.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? Before that was the last time.
Because he's from Jersey, and that's what I'm saying. It hasn't hurt him. It hasn't helped him. Until it helps him, nobody's going to go out of their way and do it. I'm just telling you.
Even you should be doing it, even if you aren't uploading it to YouTube to get better. You should be prepared when you get that chance. You should be like Edge was when he got that chance. Like Mick
yeah,
Foley was
I
when he
agree
got that
with
chance.
You. I'm not disagreeing with
like
that.
Like Stone Cold was when he got that chance to finally talk. You got to be ready.
I am not disagreeing with. What should happen? I'm telling
you, JTG is not ready, and he should be.
Actually, JTG is probably ready, but anyway.
Okay.
So you mentioned
the young guys should be. This is what I want to say. Coming off this, I know I mentioned that, but the young guys should be licking their chops right now. The young guys should be sitting there going, "Fucking Jericho's gone, Batista's gone, Triple H is essentially gone, Undertaker's essentially gone, Edge is gone,
Michaels HBK, is gone, yeah."
This is like the mid – like I think you can compare the roster talent-wise right now to the roster, say, 93 to 95, 96, where it was kind of seen as a down period for the Fed.
Brodus Clay King Mabel?
Yes. But across, I think there's a comparison to be made for the quality of the talent and the way it's viewed and how over they are and the amount of stars. But – this was an opportunity in 97 for Triple H and The Rock and Mick Foley and Steve Austin. These guys had their opportunity to emerge because the stars were gone. They had gone to WCW.
They had to make
retire.
New stars.
This is the same opportunity for your Kofi Kingstons and your Daniel Bryans and your John Morrisons and your, whoever, Cody Rhodes. This is their chance. And if I'm a young guy, right now I'm licking my chops because I'm thinking this is what I've been waiting for.
Well,
they have to elevate somebody.
I'll give you a little bit of a different spin on it. I agree with you. The reason that they elevated the new guys, And it wasn't necessarily because all the old guys left. You know, it wasn't necessarily because, you know, because you did have Brett and you had Sean that were there at the time that were doing things. But, you know, you had Diesel and Razor leave, but, you know, you still had your Vaders and Sids and Undertakers and such. But the reason that they went with the Mick Foley's and the Stone Cold Steve Austin's and The Rock and The Hunter is because they were losing.
Yeah, that's
okay,
true.
They were losing. And so Vince doesn't like to lose, and so he said, you know, what do we do? How do we do this? And so the competitive juices started to flow. Right now, and this brings me to my next point.
Okay.
And that's the change in the corporate philosophy and corporate structure of World Wrestling Entertainment.
Okay, and I do want you to talk about this, because this is up due to your profession. This is up your alley. I just want to say this. The young guys, there's not a sense that – I haven't had a sense that D.H. Smith is not improving on the mic. So he's not improving. In the ring, he's good. He's got a good look.
Yeah.
He's got the legacy. He's a good athlete, excellent athlete. Big size. Tremendous worker. No personality. He's not improving. Chris Masters is the exact opposite. Mm-hmm. He's got pretty much everything, but can't work. But he's not improving. There needs to be a place everywhere so somebody can improve. And there's a sense that young guys don't improve at the same pace. Very few guys. I don't think Kofi Kingston even is any better than he was when he came.
Of lists that don't deserve to be, perfect transition.
Okay.
Because let's talk about the recently released PWI Top 500.
Why?
Well, you're not familiar with the list, right? So I'm going to read out to you the top 25 in order.
I haven't been familiar with that list since like 1995.
Okay, I'm going to start with number 27, okay?
The internet exists, right?
It does. Okay. It does. It's a series of tubes.
Right, right.
Okay, I'm going to start with number 27 just because, okay, because those are recognizable names. Number 27 is John Morrison.
Okay.
And at any point in time when you want to jump in, just jump in and interrupt me and say something, okay? Number 27 is John Morrison. Number 26, Christopher Daniels. Number 25. Was that you?
That was me, yeah. You said anytime I want to just jump in and interrupt you.
I said anytime you want to jump in and say something.
Oh, okay.
You weren't saying anything.
Okay. Sorry. My mistake.
Okay.
I'll
start better. Over. Okay. Seriously. Okay.
Okay. Number 27. Start with number 27.
Number 27.
Something.
John Morrison.
Something.
What's that?
Something.
You said something? You got the joke right, unlike me. Number 26, Christopher Daniels.
Okay.
Okay. 25 is Davey Richards.
Okay.
24 is AJ Styles.
Neat.
Ultimo Dragon is 23.
Really?
Hiroshi Tanahashi is number 22.
Okay, well, don't go through all of them.
No, wait, listen. Sting is number 21.
Great.
Jeff Jarrett, 20.
This is an irrelevant list, so why are we talking about it?
Just listen. 19 is Wade Barrett. Some people still think this is relevant. You'll find it in some news and message boards. Okay. 18, Kurt Angle.
Who 17. Still thinks this is relevant?
17, Dolph Ziggler.
Addy at WeTalkWrestling.com if you think this is still relevant. You probably can't even spell WeTalkWrestling.com if you think this is still relevant.
So Dolph Ziggler is one ahead of Kurt Angle.
Neat.
Okay. Jeff Hardy, then Daniel Bryan, then Suwama, then Roderick Strong is number 13.
You know, I had a Suwama the other day.
Sheamus,
I had a shawarma the other day.
Oh, yeah. I like it with the tahini sauce. What is it, tahini sauce?
Sweet sauce and everything. Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Oh, anyway. Good shit.
You still talking about this?
12 is Sheamus.
I told you, I don't want to go through everybody here. Let's hit some highlights.
Yeah, quickly. We're right there. 11 is RVD. 10 is CM Punk.
Keep going.
9 is Mysterio. 8, or number, sorry. Sorry, 9 is Eddie Edwards. 8 is Mysterio. And Mr. Anderson is number 7. Alberto Del Rio is number 6. Sugiura is number 5, Japanese performer. Kane is number 4. John Cena is number 3. Randy Orton is number 2. And The Miz is number 1.
Okay.
Please, you've got to say something on that shit.
Fuck it!
On the
AM,
you know,
radio.
What we're going to do is, and we're real sober, surprisingly. But what we're going to do is, Addy is going to sing while I look this up, so you all will continue to be, enjoying the show, or at least, perhaps in many people's cases, starting to enjoy the show.
Oh, radio, tell me everything you know.
That's seriously the best you can come up with?
Why? Well, I met this lady and I told her quite a story. I said I'd love her forevermore. But the trouble is I tell the same old story to every girl that walks through the door. This is the slickster coming at you, honey. Well, first they love me, and then they won't. Sometimes they do it, and sometimes they don't. So I said to this girl, hey, you get out. And she got to her feet and began to shout, you're a jive soul bro, a jive soul bro. And you always lie to your friends. You're a jive soul bro, a jive soul bro. And you never get nothing in the end.
Hey, now I'm going to get you to, instead of telling us who you are, I'm wondering if you can give us a little hint by singing yourself, giving us a little hint through a song.
Good night, mate. Time a kangaroo down, sport. Time a kangaroo down.
Outback Jack, motherfuckers. Outback
G'day,
Jack
mate.
On the phone.
Well, good day.
Hey, Outback, how are you doing? I understand you're pissed off about that thing of the mist. Can you explain your point?
I was very pissed off with the mist. You know, it's just one of the things that made say, fuck it, it's Killer Khan. Killer Khan, mate.
Killer Khan?
He just sprayed the mist in my face, mate, and I never wrestled again in the WWF, mate.
Oh, mist ruined your career.
Killer Khan, the mist, mate. The mist, it just, you know, it just bugged me up so much, mate, that I didn't know. I never wrestled in the WWF again.
But you did wrestle. Do you still wrestle? Is there any opponents you've been taking on lately or anything? Or are you still... I mean, you have
oh, fuck, mate,
there,
I
right?
just threw another shrimp on the Bobby back here in the Outback, and I came up against an Outback. I came up against a croc. Crocodile.
A crocodile? You wrestled a crocodile?
Wrestled a crocodile. 1, 2, 3. Still undefeated, mate. Against,
in the Outback.
Against crocodiles.
Yeah. Well, those crocodiles are dangerous.
I push over the Aborigines whenever I can, mate, and pin them 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
They're
not as dangerous as the crocs, I don't think.
The crocs are the most dangerous
thing in the jungle, right?
I out-wrestled myself a kangaroo.
Oh, yeah.
Kangaroo last week.
Oh, they're dangerous.
The thing is, you got to be smart, mate. Yeah. Fucking smart. Because they are sheerly stand-up fighters, mate.
Oh, yeah.
They got no ground game,
mate. If you take
mate.
Them to the ground, then you can
submit them. Ground and pound, mate. Ground
yeah.
and pound.
So are they more dangerous? That's the most dangerous one than the kangaroos?
I beat this fellow from the International Drainage Commission.
Yeah? Yeah.
Beat him.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Pinned
so that he was
pinned
the most
him,
dangerous
mate.
Guy then in the jungle. That's the most dangerous.
The international dream. Godzilla.
What?
I beat Godzilla last week. Godzilla came out. He came to the Outback. He said, I'm Godzilla. And I understand you're Outback Jack, mate. He said that. He said, mate. I had no idea, mate.
Godzilla's in
Godzilla,
the jungle now?
He was hiding out in the Outback. And but I found him, mate. And I beat him.
Yeah. Well,
1, 2, 3.
Are you working me now?
No, I shoot.
Yeah, you're shooting.
So
that was the most dangerous person then is Godzilla.
I am the one, mate, that found, that wrestled up, and that killed Osama bin Laden, mate.
That was you.
That was me.
It was in the Outback, wasn't it?
That was Outback Jack.
Oh, wonderful. In the Outback. I didn't know.
You're going to read that nowhere else.
Nobody would look for him there.
You're
going to
read that nowhere else, mate.
Yeah.
I beat a Tyrannosaurus Rex, mate.
What the fuck?
Tyrannosaurus Rex, mate.
Get out of here.
I was out there, and I was just minding my own business, and it came up, and mate, and I just wrestled him down, 1, 2, 3.
Nobody, I mean, I think.
Had a huge reach advantage,
the only other person
mate.
I ever saw beat up a Tyrannosaurus, I believe, King Kong. You and King Kong, but. You know, I mean,
I beat King Kong too.
What?
Mate, King Kong, mate.
Seriously?
King Kong, mate, was my tryout match, mate, to get into WWF.
Oh, you kicked his ass then.
I kicked his ass, mate.
Oh, nice, nice. Well,
and then I got the brawler.
Anybody who doesn't think you're the toughest man alive is a fool. That's what I
say. Well, that's what I say, mate. Fuck me. You know, I'm just out and about, just doing a walkabout.
Ah, that's
trying to mind my own business, doing a walkabout, mate.
Well, you do that. You get back to business.
Thanks,
here.
Mel. Thanks, mate. Good day, eh?
Thank you very much.
Wow, Outback Jack.
I didn't know he was apparently. I'd like to see Outback Jack versus Cain Velasquez. And
I guess.
You see title?
Yeah. Well, and I'd like to see.
I mean, Cain doesn't have a chance.
Well, if he's a strike, well, it depends. If he put the mask back on, maybe.
Yeah, if Cain put the mask back on,
yeah.
He'd have a better chance.
But that's just interesting, though, that that's been, you know, it's big in the news, obviously, this week, Osama bin Laden.
Yeah, in the Outback. No wonder they couldn't find
him.
They kept
saying
they
were saying Pakistan, but I guess
that.
It turns out.
Outback, do you think Outback Jack would try and work me? Would he lie to me?
He sounded, you know what? I'm buying a bright blue Cadillac actually from him next week, so I assume that
hopefully everything's going to be fine.
I assume he's straight and narrow.
Yeah. All right, let's hit another subject here.
Okay.
I'm wondering.
I got a mailbag question. Can I do that?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah.
I have a mailbag question because I got to eat some. You know, once I was the king of Spain. But now I got to eat some humble pie.
All right, excellent.
Because
I ate some poutine pie.
We have a Trinity here. It's from Philadelphia. Trinity from Philadelphia has written in and
the
said.
The Trinity?
I don't. Maybe. Doesn't say. Doesn't, okay. Well, doesn't say the Trinity. No.
Yeah, ECW's Trinity.
Trinity.
No.
But yeah, I know. From Philadelphia too. But
yeah,
no.
So who knows?
What she's busting my chops about is that it seemed that I blew you off. She says when you had a question about the best outfits.
Usually your mom's the one who blows me, but
mm-hmm.
this
yep.
time it was yours. Yeah.
Yep.
But
the ends.
I think
there is someone on.
I think
if
I see
you
somebody on hold.
It's a that's
that
the, that's
person
the
I'm in
that's
contact
the
with?
Connecticut area code. Yeah.
Yeah. Should we get?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. Awesome. This is
you hooked it up. So
this could be our constantly in touch with our husband. This could be our biggest get yet. We have on the CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment. Formerly, she's no longer with that position.
No.
But she once was. She was there for a long time, and of course, everybody knows her. It is an absolute pleasure to have on Linda McMahon.
Wow,
Linda,
yes,
how are
it
you?
Is. It's a pleasure to have you on, Linda. Thank you.
Thank you for having me on. What fucking show did you say this was?
We talk wrestling.
Yeah, no, you're on. We talk. Wrestling.
We talk wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, thank you very much for coming on. Moed had mentioned that you were formerly the CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, and you had resigned that position. It's going to be a few years ago now, as time flies. Really, what have you been up to since you've left that position?
I am the Senator of Connecticut.
Oh, Linda, you may not know this. I thought you did. You didn't win.
Awkward.
You're not the Senator of Connecticut.
That's awkward.
Yeah, maybe somebody should let you know.
Fuck you. I am the Senator of Connecticut.
Okay.
Well, okay then.
My mistake.
Yeah.
Linda is the... Senator. But, okay, well, you're running for senator. I think one of the things that a lot of people were questioning and hurt you was there was some controversy with the former, it was Garrison Cade within the WWE, and Lance Cade
was
his real name. His father made some disparaging remarks about you and the way you handled his untimely passing. What do you have to say about that, Linda?
Yeah, about just respond to the father, I guess.
I never met Lance Cade. I am sorry that he is dead. He is dead, right?
Yes. Unfortunately, Lance Cade did pass away.
Yeah.
A little while ago.
Yeah, we thought you knew.
But okay, well, we don't have a lot of time, and we know you don't have a lot of time, and so we do thank you for spending your valuable time with us here. We've just got a couple of other questions, and then we can wrap up here for you. But moving on, and we mentioned you, of course, being CEO of World Wrestling Entertainment, what you're most known for. You'd span that over a couple of decades, and just wanted to what you would think that your sort of lasting legacy would have been from World Wrestling Federation / World Wrestling Entertainment. What do you think you did there, Linda?
We put smiles on people's faces. I am happy that the WWE Universe has stood up for WWE.
Yeah.
I was that pleased.
That was
pleased
awesome.
Me too.
Great marketing campaign.
Yeah, thank you, Linda. But Linda, I'm going to talk to you about, you know, you're talking about the current WWE and standing up for it. Let me just ask you about, you had a boom period in the 80s. It was huge.
It was
and
great.
Then somehow you made even more money in the 90s.
Went public.
You look back on that era and the financial gains that that company made. I'm sure you have fond memories. What do you have to say about that time?
Well, yeah, what would you think about the...
The Attitude Era.
The Attitude Era.
Fuck Russo.
Oh. You know what?
Well, that's a good answer.
She has met him.
That's, yeah, yeah. No, that's, you're yeah. obviously an intelligent
Unlike
lady.
Unlike Lance Cade, who
yes.
she never has met.
No, obviously an intelligent lady. Well, let's, I just wanted to touch base now that something current, Linda, is with a recent arrangement that you've made with the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation, GLAAD, for some comments that John Cena has made. Recently coming to an agreement with them, and just recently over this past weekend here, Michael Cole, using a derogatory slur towards his broadcast colleague on Twitter, Josh Matthews, just wanted to get your reaction to that, and did you feel that that was appropriate?
Malfunction does not compute.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Hello?
You know what? Let's just move on to another question.
We've lost Linda.
What?
We've lost her. Yeah.
I have a lot more to ask her.
I did too, but she's obviously we've lost her, and she's a very busy lady. So
you know
like
what?
Though
I guarantee you, I'm gonna text her husband as soon as we get off the show here.
Yeah.
I guarantee you. I fucking guarantee you. We're gonna have Linda back on.
We should be able to get her
many
back
times.
On. That was a very.
But you know
good
what?
Interview.
Why don't you talk about that last part there, Michael Cole, and explain that entire situation?
Well, before we do that, I'd like to thank Linda for coming on. You could really feel the genuine emotion.
She
feels it, and she cares.
It hit me emotionally.
She cares.
It's heartfelt,
Fuck Russo!
We intended to get an interview, or attempting to get an interview. Roddy Piper is here this week, and we were attempting to get an interview with him. Now, he's replaced Lance Storm on the television show World of Hurt. And World of Hurt is produced by a local guy who thinks he's a big wig, Larry Day, and his wife, Kirsten McCullen, who
Cunt.
Some of you may know only from the fact that she wrote that awful Under the Mat book by Diana Hart, the one with all the grammatical and spelling errors that got published.
Even grammatical.
Yes. What'd I say?
Grammatical.
Fuck it. Anyways, she's the one.
I think she wrote grammatical in there. Maybe.
She probably did because it's
possible.
Awful. It's a horrible, horrible piece full of lies, terrible writing, terrible, terrible spelling, terrible. Grammatical errors.
You know, I gave your mom my horrible piece.
Now, I actually worked with Diana Hart at this time. She's
Twice.
A bright, intelligent, witty lady.
In the
and
ass.
It was pretty obvious she had nothing to do with this book. Now, I am World of Hurt. We attempted to, as I say, get an interview with Roddy Piper because he's being brought
toys.
In for media. Well, not for media, to talk about his role in that. For $20, you can listen to him talk for an hour on what he's going to do on this show.
She made me
so
breakfast.
We attempted to get this interview with him, and they said, I'm sorry, we don't have the time. Your only purpose in this event is to try and get publicity and media for your show.
I didn't eat the
you
breakfast.
You and your slutbag wife, your nepotism of your idiot son, Larry Day's son, Buddy Day, Larry Day himself, you guys did not have time. World of Hurt is on the cave.
World
of Hurt is is watched by 12 people on a channel with 14 people subscribing with no international distribution. Right. We have so many more listeners than they have viewers. And yet these morons cannot sit there and say, we'll give you time. Now, I still love Roddy Piper. Hot Rod is the man, is one of my favorites, always will be one of my favorites. But these idiots would not give us the time. You know what? I tell what. You can blow me just like Addy is doing with his transsexual boyfriend, which is what he's doing when he's watching Impact Wrestling. And if you don't like it, blow go it as well. Because I think that what they're saying, these World of Hurt assholes, Pyramid Productions, is that you fans, our listeners, who are the best damn listeners on the internet, the most loyal, the funniest, and the smartest, are not good enough for this show, despite the fact that there's legions more of you than there is of them. So I'm going off on this rant. What I'm saying is I want you to spam those fuckers.
And the mullet.
I want you to email them that they should have granted the interview. I want you to email the World of Hurt, Pyramid Productions. Tell them to go fuck themselves. Because they said you're not important enough, and God damn it, you're way more and way more important than World of Hurt and this television show, The Cave, and all this bullshit. So that's it. I've had my rant. I had to go off on
Mo's mom. What?
What? I'm sorry. What were we talking about?
Your mom.
Oh, how's she doing?
A lot.